Anybody recognize this?
Mine.
All right, single serve.
Okay, so I'd like to welcome you as the Board of Directors of the Extension Master Gardener Volunteer Association of New Hanover County. This is our first board meeting. We do have a lot of business to attend to today. I know we're going to have a couple of presentations. I'd like to welcome Amy! Yay! And I'd like to welcome Kevin.
C-A-S-S-E-L.
I'll see a lot of familiar faces. I think there's any other guests today. All right, you were emailed minutes from our July meeting. There was also a separate financial review document that represents the business that we performed regarding the financial report for fiscal year 24-25, and this was emailed to you, and I'd like to hear a motion to approve the minutes.
Make a motion that we approve.
All right, John's making a motion that we approve the minutes. And Patty?
There was a comment about what we would need to have as insurance for the board so the board did not get sued. We would talk about that in our meeting. But the reference in minutes was for automobile insurance.
Well, that was incorrect.
That was incorrect.
Okay. So that should have been struck from the
list. It was corrected.
Okay, I just didn't make a copy of it.
I saw that, and
it was
taken out of context. We did discuss automobile insurance, but that was out of context.
Okay.
So I need a second for the.
Oh, just very quickly, my name is spelled with no E on it, so M-E-A-D.
Steve, for all your hard work past couple years, and this was a monumental job, and we're going to hopefully make some changes to make that job a little bit more doable, because it's and that comes from a lot of recommendations. So that we will get into that later. So I'd like a motion to approve the financial report for fiscal year 24-25.
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
Second.
All right, all those in favor of approving the financial report for 24-25 as emailed to you, say aye.
Aye.
So the next section is simply reports, so no business, just reports. If there's anything going on that needs to be reported, ongoing things. So financial reports, as before.
Steve. That budget should be 25-26, right? Not 24-25.
So going around is a report for July. As you will see that comes along, we've taken in a little bit of money from reimbursement from
the they said 24-25 when they called the vote.
And then there were some rewards from the credit card that Steve had. So
that's the final report.
$1 coming in this month, which was great. And then some expenses, we had to redo the grant to the Alliance for Cape Fear Trees because it got lost in the mail or somebody took it somewhere on the line. And so that was what the grant amount is and amounts for meals in various capacities. So we end up down 1,500 this month. And, you know, just sort of a word about, as everybody knows, all of our money comes in sort of three quarters to the end of the year with the plant sale. And so, you know, I expect that we'll have deficits most every month until we get to that point when we bring in all that money in at a time, which is pretty unusual for nonprofits. Usually you have some money coming in and sort of things are relatively balanced along the way, but that won't be true for us. So, you know, once you get nervous about seeing a deficit number every month. So in addition to the what comes in and out, which is what's on this report, you know, our bank balance is very, very healthy. We have over $300,000 in the bank, and that's divided up with $25,700 in a money market, $138,865 in a CD, and the checking account has $137,174. So, you know, we have a very solid and very unusual for nonprofits amount of money in the bank that we should be all very happy for. And, you know, really something we should think about at some point. You know, do we want to spend it in some specific kinds of ways? Because
I think there's some plans for that.
Good.
Thanks. There's some nice plans for that.
So anyway, anybody have any questions about that July report?
Yeah. I got one. Would it make sense to put that information about what you just talked about, the CDs and all that, on the report?
Well, what will happen is we're going to be hopefully moving toward using a bookkeeping service. They will generate reports for us every year. Every month. It will consist of two things, a profit and loss statement, which is essentially what I've given you, and then a balance sheet. On the balance sheet will be the information about the money that's in the bank. So I don't really know how to generate it. I don't have the software that does that. So so going forward, you would have that. So that's why I just told you verbally today.
Thank you.
This is great, Beth.
Yeah.
All right, communications, John.
Just that the newsletter will be published at the end of this month.
Okay, did we decide to change the months when that came out? I was on the communications committee. Did we decide to?
No, but that would probably be a topic at the next meeting.
Okay. But we do it four times a year?
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Unless there's a special, like last year we did a special because of something that was going on.
I'm really excited. We're bringing Mappertone from NC State's the PDIC, the Plant Disease and Insect Clinic. He's coming on the 20th, I believe, of August. I do think that is full. That class is full. But if anybody would like to attend, let me know. Especially master gardeners would like to make room for them in that capacity. There is a walk. It's all about ants. Is the presentation. And he's going to do a walk around the gardens and then followed up by a presentation in here. We do have the pollinator census coming up as well. That's a great opportunity for, it's a volunteer opportunity, but it's also a bit educational as well because volunteers are contributing as citizen scientists. So we're collecting pollinator data in the gardens and then submitting that to the Great Pollinator Census of the Southeast. We do have a fall vegetable gardening class. It's going to be taught by our very own Pat and Ann Gariano, and that'll be open to Master Gardener volunteers as well, and the general public. And not all the information is there yet, but we are having a presentation from a nurse, a registered nurse, or she works with like disease and public outreach for New Hanover County. She's going to be discussing Lyme disease and mosquitoes. And then we're hoping to have a presentation followed up after hers that talks about how to reduce mosquito populations without hurting your pollinators. And that'll be here, and that's in October.
Yeah, I looked for lightning bugs the other day. I was out for my walk.
No.
Yeah. I haven't seen any around here in a long time.
I've never seen them. I thought it was the comet and the
spray. No,
they used to have the spray.
Oh.
Oh, there is one more that just got on the books as of Friday, Composting for Beginners, which will be taught by Sarah Ducharme of New Hanover County Waste and Recycling, Recycling Waste. So that will be open to the public and master gardeners as well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Having done the education committee, Gabrielle is doing so much now. It's just, incredible. So please take advantage of that. Because it sounds like you've got some really, wide-reaching,
Yeah, if you have ideas for any content or if you know of a speaker you can connect me with, I'd be happy to work on that. I had a volunteer reach out to me recently about foraging, so I'd really like to get something on the books for foraging in New Hanover County soon.
I'll pipe up it just real quick that my friend Kristen Noe from the Fort Fisher Aquarium is here today doing a camp. And I don't know if you know, Fort Fisher is closing down for about 2 years for renovations. So she is looking for alternate locations. She does outreach, that's all she does. But I've talked to her about holding some classes here, like turtles more wildlife.
They go to the country club where we belong. They have a really great children's camp program. Just day camp. Mm-hmm. And I know they are one of the groups that actually comes and gets.
I'm excited for the opportunity. I think it would be a nice, we've always had a nice partnership with them, but, garden wildlife, kinds of things that, we don't have in-house without getting engaged with them. But, yes, I'm excited about that. So if there's any wildlife topics you want to know about,
Do you want to mention Cape Fear Native Plant Festival?
Yeah, do you want to talk about it?
Because it's an educational opportunity as well. Once again, we're having here during the week, we're having presenters. And I don't remember
all
the
presenters. Yeah, great presentations.
Except for Basil Camus.
Yeah. Wednesday night is, which is the 17th, 18th, 19th. The 17th is a guy's name is Patrick Bradshaw. He is one of the people, does a lot of things around town, but he has done the Nature at Home program, and he's talking about his journey with his yard and converting that to a plant habitat. The next one will be Emily Morrison from Onslow County. She's doing native plants and container gardening, so that'd be a really cool topic. And then the keynote speaker is Basil Camus. He's doing From Wasteland to Wonder. He has a book that he is promoting as well, so he's talking about how to convert your native spaces.
He's an arborist.
What month is that? Is it
September. So that's September 17th, 18th, 19th. The 20th is the shopping day out in the community from Pender Pines all the way to Sheltner Farm. And then new this year is the garden tour. So there's a native garden tour that Gabriella and her team have put together that's going to showcase 11 native home landscapes that have been certified through Nature Act. It's a really action-packed week.
Yeah, most of them are certified. We do have a couple of the commercial landscapes as well, like the Arboretum is one of the touring locations. Davis Community will be one. I believe the Latimer House also serves as one. And then residential properties. But it's just for people to get an idea of how they can incorporate native plants at home.
Basil's really good. I don't know if any of you were at it. Several years ago, the Friends at their annual meeting had Basil and Richard Johnson speaking about trees.
And if you have his book, From Wasteland to Wonder, he is going to be signing them afterwards. So if you want to get one in advance, you can sign it while I see.
Do you have to sign up for those presentations?
Yes, you do. Yeah.
It opens on the 20th.
Available
I think the 20th, August 20th, they'll go live. And there's more limited space in the first two. I think we've kept it at 50, and then the Basil's will be 100, so there should be a lot of assistance.
And I'll send that out in the blast as well, whenever they're available.
Grants Committee.
Okay. So I'm Betsy Bilger. I am the new Grants Committee Chair, and I have a handout to give y'all, and some of y'all or you should have gotten it through email if you want to take a physical copy. Patty pointed out that some of this you may not know, like on the back it has Montessori, that's just Island Montessori, so you'll realize that there's three organizations that applied for two different grants. We allowed them to apply priority one, priority two. That's the first time that we've done that. And the priority two actually were very strong, so they were fully funded. Priority one, we funded all but one of the organizations, and that was just because they gave us a detailed plan. So,
we have to say how much it costs.
Yeah. Well, they asked for $3,000, and we don't know exactly what that was spent on. So what I did was identified them based on the highest scores. We work as a group. I think there are nine of us on our committee. We work as a group. We individually score them. Then Patty went to the trouble of consolidating all those scores, and we were able to add them. And so we have a pretty much of a consensus about what we wanted to fund. We still get together and discuss it. There's sometimes a little bit of change that may occur, but not much. And some of these organizations we were able to ask, they asked for the full $3,000. We believe that they're strong enough that they should receive the full $1,000. A few of them we wanted to reduce their funding based on some of the organizations asked for things that included hardscaping, which is not something we fund. Some of it was just a little unclear how the funds would be used, so we weren't able to fund some of that. We wanted to be good stewards of everybody's hard work at the plant sale. One thing that I noticed, there were two themes that showed up. One theme was, it was like native plants. So native plant people, you've done a great job of pushing that. Everybody wants to spotlight native plants. They want to use these educationally. But the other thing that we also noticed is that there's a real awareness of food insecurity in the community. And much of this was funding community gardens that will then go out and they've identified who, what organizations receive the funding.
We had two ladies come in, speaking to food insecurity from a Methodist church. They wanted to do soil testing. And, you know, I got to talking with them, and, well, what are you growing? You know, it just seemed like they weren't homeowners. So I'm going, are you a farm? And, well, we're growing food. I said, well, what are you growing food for? They're growing food to give away. So this is a Methodist church somewhere down Herbert Church. It's down, you know, in the tip of the triangle. And I don't know the names of all these roads up here.
Harbor Methodist.
I think it is.
It's a United Methodist Church. I got that much out of it, but they hadn't asked for money, but maybe it's their congregation is.
Can I brag about you for 1 second? When I started the organization, I knew that Patty had done a great job of outreach, and she continues to really promote that. So anyone at this table, if you meet an organization such as this that would be good for, you know, applying for a grant, I'd like for you to pass them on either to Gabriella or to me, because you can pass them on to me, but to me, because we'd like to make sure that they attend any sessions that we offer about the grants. One thing that Patty also does is she has in the past offered a grant writing workshop where we talk about what are the things that we're looking for, how to write your grant so that it really communicates what we need. And so we are really working at trying to expand our reach in the community.
Yeah. And I think that Harbor Church is actually on the contact list.
And
they have already been invited.
Okay, good.
If not, I'll make sure.
And I'm looking at Montessori, and I mean, I know something about the Montessori method, which is absolutely fabulous, but sounds like they need some help in writing.
Yeah, just one of them.
Island Montessori is, actually, it was a very well-written grant. They left out how much the item was going to cost.
But there were two grants, and one of them left out how much it would cost.
But they are a charter school.
Okay.
their charter school.
So this is the money that has been awarded.
We've approved, and now we're coming to.
Okay, and we'll do that, I guess, in the next. Do you have a total? Is that down there?
Yes,
total funded amount.
Yes, it should be down at the very bottom in blue, $29,321.60.
And you have not contacted
no,
them yet.
No, we have not had our touch.
Yeah.
So the wait a minute. What is this $6,005.67?
It's the second priority.
Second priority.
All right. I have a question about this, though. So one of the things that we talked about last year, last summer, was support for arboretum programs. Are we treating that as a separate stream? Instead of including
we're not
that
supposed
in the
to. We did not receive
no.
grants
no.
from.
We didn't receive any applications.
Okay.
That's
and
one thing I want to talk about today because the Arboretum is Extension's program.
Right.
So I would really like us to not compete with the community for
mm-hmm.
requesting money since
yeah,
we are all Extension together.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
that's something I'd like to, you know, and we're going to request money from you today, but we don't want that to be.
Amy said that she doesn't want to be considered in the same pile of money
yeah.
as grants. That yeah. our organization's job is to support Extension.
And I like that approach. I like treating it as a separate stream.
Yeah, and I think this is a nice trial run. You know, if we could come to you at budget time and make a budget request for the year as to how you can support Extension educational
mm-hmm.
programming, I
yeah.
think this might be a nice format to
well,
do that.
Well, also, you know what, Amy, I know, would be good if we could talk beforehand to see what can complement each other, too. So
yeah.
that it
yeah.
has a bigger impact.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure at what point this needs to happen, whether it needs to happen in July or June, because, I mean, we're doing it now.
Yeah.
I'm
thinking
June.
Yeah, we can
well,
start earlier in the process. Here's what we're
at least thinking about
yeah.
it.
Because
yeah.
that's when we read the grants, and it would be great to say, oh, look, this is
this
the latest sprinkle.
This.
Yeah.
yeah.
Next year, when we are starting to think about a budget for the following year, you know, I'll get a hold of all of the committee heads and you all for you to start thinking about what kind of amount. I'll tell you what, you know, the amount was for this year or maybe
mm-hmm.
last couple of years. Give you some information and so that you can give me that as we put this all together. And then hopefully, generally, most nonprofits, you approve the budget by June because fiscal year starts
yes.
July 1. So I'd like to shoot for that. So if we can get, you know, maybe I'll send something out to you in April. You know, we can get some preliminaries in May and work that up and then try to get it approved in June.
We just have so much going on in April. Hey, all right.
New
so
Year, so.
We'll have to, those are logistics. I guess we'll have to work through. Plan Sale yeah. Committee, what's going on?
Well, just great job last year. Very good wrap up with a lot of suggestions and kudos on things we did right, and we've learned some things always to improve. But our tentative dates for next year are 15 through 19 April, and that is Wednesday through Sunday. We will, as the committee meets, kind of firm up. There's been discussions, should we still have it on Sunday? Not, you know, some things like that, but these are our dates. That is the third weekend. The first weekend is Easter. The next weekend, or right before our sale starts, is the Isaiah Festival. So we've kind of hit that several years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that we kind of, you know, cognizant about with setting up or getting ready beforehand. I will be checking the calendar to be sure these are on the calendar for next year. Also scheduling our plant sale committee meeting dates for next year and firming up our members.
Also, and I've spoken to all of my committee chairs, having a co-chair would definitely be, I think, a good thing just because y'all, can get any younger.
That's
you know,
right.
It,
yeah,
it
yeah.
can happen to anybody where you get taken out, mm-hmm. and we don't know why. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. So to have continuity, I think it's really important.
Yeah.
To have somebody in the wings, learning, knowing, you know, your right hand, learning what's going on, so that, you know.
And I'm working on that.
All right.
Just a comment on the plant sale to kind of see this for everybody. I would really love to meet with the teams this year before y'all start like propagating or starting plants, so I can look at the plant list just to make sure we don't have any invasives at all. And just I just would love to see it before we put all that time and energy into it.
Suggest for taking invasives out of the arboretum.
I would love that too. But well,
a little bit of time. What is this plant out here with the white flowers that's going?
Anise.
Yeah, it's an Alyssum.
Oh, okay. Okay. Which is
a lovely
name. Propagation.
Our team for annuals and perennials Friday. And we made our plant selection for orders for the delivery to be coming in February. And we have placed two orders, one if not finalized yet. The reason why we do always do that in end of July, beginning obviously, because things sell out. And so we already have to substitute a lot of plants. So the order is placed. I will send you the list.
Thank you.
And I'll send you the amount once it's finalized. It is. We did use Steve's credit card on file. They have to have a credit card to place the order. It doesn't get charged until February. So I told them that this was temporary, just to hold it, and I told them that as soon as we had a new credit card number, that we then put it on file. That's how we do it every year.
Yes.
They have to have a credit card. So that's in the works.
So y'all need to
we need yeah, absolutely. When I have I have to substitute some plants with one of the two nurseries. So when we finally have everything not sold out. And you know, I will send you copies. I'll send Gabriella a list of the plants, and then we kind of sit tight for a while. And you know, so this is just to get the orders out there. They can be edited. They can be canceled. They can be anything. So, and one more delivery. Yeah, that part of the budget I've submitted something. We also would like to do. That's more of a plant sale thing, but we wanted to increase our amount.
Okay,
of
we'll talk about that.
The budget. Okay. So for propagation, right now this is where we stand.
Okay.
And
through the native plants, I've drafted a list. I'm trying to get my team up to speed, but. Last year, I only had a couple of suggestions from people on my team for plants, and I ended up turning them all down but one, because either they were cultivars or they were plants that Roberta and Jeanette already sell as cultivars, or they were plants that don't grow well here,
gotcha.
That they're mountain plants.
Why? They're pretty, but you're just,
so,
we get that all the time in the plant community.
So you know, and I've worked with my team for years to try to educate and get somebody up to speed that could take over what I do. I have people who are willing to take over pieces, small pieces.
Yeah, it's a process.
So it's just it's really hard to do. But I wanted to leave my amount at about the same as last year. Probably.
We'll get to that. Unfortunately, our social committee chair is not here.
Yes, she is.
Oh, is she hiding? Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I don't have too much to report. I'm Linda Littlejohn. I've taken over Judy Howard, who's done this job for a long time, done a great job. And I hope to continue being successful as she was, and maybe tweaking things a little bit to
that's fine.
Make it run a little bit.
Yeah, we need to tweak, I think, because we don't have a Denise anymore, and so I think there's going to be a lot more falling your way. Okay, thank you. I'm sorry. Okay, Extension Director update.
Well, hi.
This is the update right here.
Well, I'm Amy Mead. I think I know everybody in the room. I'm going to start off by saying y'all have to be gentle with me today because I just dropped off my baby at college yesterday.
Oh. My granddaughter goes today. My first time to
college. I didn't think it was going to be that hard. And
it's
then
hard.
I was like, the last hug is like,
it's hard.
It gets easier, I will tell you.
I believe that too.
She didn't make your life miserable right before, like you're ready for
living
out.
Like a little bit.
Just wait for the first one when she comes back home for vacation.
Yeah, I do see that happening too. But thank you guys so much for welcoming me. It feels so good to be home. I have worked side by side with most of you in this room. And I can't thank you enough for what you do to support the extension of, or the mission of extension. I think it's more important than ever. There's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of misinformation out there. And our job here as our land-grant university is to provide information, to provide solutions for our community. And you guys really help us extend the reach of that mission. And we couldn't do this without you. The association has been our longtime partner, and I'm excited to see what we can do together and to see how we can use the money that you guys work so hard to raise to enhance our mission, both here and in the community. So thank you guys for what you do. I'll talk a little bit when we make our request about my vision for the garden and what we want to propose for you guys. So I'm here. My door is always open to anyone. I want our partnership to be strong. So yeah. Let me know what you guys need from me. My job is here to support you.
And Gabriella, you kind of talked about some things that are going on.
I talked about some education things, but I will a couple of updates. In the plant clinic, we, I think, have had the busiest year so far, and we're definitely needing more support as business kind of increases. We've had already over 3,300 contacts in the plant clinic this year. We've had nearly 2,000 samples sent out, and it's only, just July just ended. So I can only imagine where we'll be at the end of the year. That being said, I did find out recently that when we're shipping things, we are charged, the courier charges us by weight of parcels, not the quantity of them. And so because we have drastically increased the amount of samples we're taking in, our postage has doubled every month. So that's another really big thing. It's gone from about like $250 a month to like $500 a month just to send samples out. And again, that's just by weight. It's not by quantity or size of the boxes or anything. And dirt and water are heavy things, right? So that's a big thing. We do really need support in the plant clinic. I've been trying to post, those empty slots. I did recently fix that on there on the calendar where, previously you could sign up. There were four options. Now there's two interns and two certified options. And that was kind of by mistake because it accidentally got deleted, but that's okay. It was a, blessing in disguise.
Like
it's happened. Definitely happened before. Okay, so
that's what sounds like. What's happening?
And some other stuff. Matt, so the class is going great so far, my first master gardener class. We had two meetings so far. We have our third meeting tonight, and Matt Colligan will be teaching. There are three open spots in case anybody wants to come back at 5 p.m. for his composting class. And you can sign up on the intranet for continuing education. I did send out the blast this morning with some of that info. Another big thing, I finally found the time to update the plant clinic protocol. And I've printed out new copies of that, and it is in the plant clinic, all bound and everything, so you can go through that. Not a lot has changed, but there were some things in there like contact Casey if you need help with something, or miles and such. So I kind of made it just say program assistant or horticulture agent, you know, and things like that.
How many do you have in the class?
We have, so I accepted 35, but two of them had to drop out due to personal reasons, so we have 33. It's a good size class. Each time that we'll have a lecture, rather than the hands-on opportunity, I might open up a couple of the hands-on opportunities. It just might be too many people in here. But each time we have a lecture presentation, I've been opening 10 spots for existing volunteers for them to come and attend, and you can just register right on the internet.
Yeah.
And then our mentoring, our first mentoring session is this Wednesday. I'm super excited about the format. We're going to be using a model that's used by other counties, which is team or group mentoring. And so we'll have about two, I would ideally like three, but I think I have enough for two certified Master Gardener volunteers to work with a team of about five students. And I'll have, you know, a structured kind of activity for you to do with them each time, whether part of it's discussion or going through questions and things. So our first one is this Wednesday.
And she sends out the structured activity ahead of time. So and great.
Thank you. Yeah, it's I provide everything at least a week in advance. I'll probably email you like two more times before we actually have our meeting. But and it's super casual as far as the mentoring. If you're interested in coming to one session, you can do that. Each time the group of students will stay the same, but the mentors will kind of change. So that way they get the opportunity to connect with multiple existing volunteers.
Account does the postage come from?
That's a great question. I think I need to confirm with Robin, actually.
Yeah.
I think I don't know that it directly.
It's our extent. It comes from our county budget.
Oh, yeah.
So we pay thousands in courier fees per year to ship these samples away. It's our postage line.
Yeah, and I think that's something that we'll have to just get creative with how we can supplement.
That can really tally up.
It is already. Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. We're getting the word out that this is important.
Yeah.
So people are actually taking advantage of it.
And I will say, in other counties, they don't always offer the free courier service, but I think that is what makes our county special, and it makes us an asset to our community, the fact that you can just come here and drop your samples off. So I would like to make us essential, ultimately, and I think that's one way that we are essential. So.
And people see it as a service.
Yes.
And it's something you're getting for their taxes, is what they're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And on my side, with, you know, our relationship with the county, you know, I promote this is a way that we protect water quality in this town, because we advise people on how to properly fertilize their gardens so that it will reduce stormwater runoff or nutrients in stormwater runoff. So this is really kind of a circular, you know, all around program.
Yeah. So I never want to charge the community to ship these samples off. I will do everything I possibly can before that happens, you know.
All right, we've got plant clinic up there. Could you kind of
I kind of covered that too.
And we had talked probably last spring about having an orientation or I don't know.
In an ideal world, I would love to have like a little, you know, monthly meeting with people who regularly work in the plant clinic to just say, here are some BOLOs, like here's what, you know, to be on the lookout for, but also what we might be seeing, any updates or changes, maybe just talk about like cool things we've seen recently.
Yeah.
Not like a long meeting, but I think that would be fun, even if it was via Zoom.
Even if we have that as a board, I don't know, you know, it's just something to think about, a committee. And because Jeannie Lister, I know, that is her baby.
She really
feels very strongly about that. Mm-hmm. All right, Friends of the Arboretum up there.
Yeah. Well, first of all, the board has decided to make a donation of $2,000 to the Master Gardener Association, a matching donation, so that with $2,000 from this group, that collective total of $4,000 can be used for something that we all deem necessary or needy either internally or externally. That's just a...
I think we may have a discussion about that coming up. We'll see. That's wonderful.
Yeah, and then also, in case you haven't known yet, we also donated $39,000 to the Arboretum for Kevin's purposes in reforming the former, or recreating the former Rose Garden. I don't know what, if you've come up with a name, Kevin, but that money is going to go there to help you do, in addition to the excavation that you've already done, whatever plants you're going to choose and stuff like that. And then, just as a reminder, the Art in the Arboretum is back on the calendar, October 10 through 12. The Sip Saver shop Friday evening is back on from 5:30 to 7:30 for friends and guests. Guests have to pay $35. If you remember, the friends, Friday night is a freebie. It'll be catered. There'll be music. Opportunity to purchase art before the, like we do with the Wednesday thing for the plants. And then Saturday and Sunday is from 10 to 4. And there'll be a variety of things. There'll be food trucks each day, music again, and some other things. Stay tuned for the announcements that have started coming out. And I have a couple of people working with the communications, and we're working with Megan. Megan's going to be the distributor of the information to the various sources that we use to get the word out about the art show this year.
All right, and now we get to the nitty-gritty of the reason we're here today, and that is the budget.
Can we ask Kevin to just brief us on the new garden? I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be really a cool garden space. The garden that's replacing the Rose Garden.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, no problem. So as many of you know, it's one of the first gardens we had here. I think it was official in the fall of 89. So this October, the garden would have been 36 years old. But the fact and reality of growing roses in this climate is just difficult to say the least. The amount of fungicide and insecticide I had to put on there every 7 days was environmentally and morally unsustainable. So we kind of looked at what we have, what space we had there, and I kind of had the idea, what if we brought everything that Dr. Tom Randy with NC State, he runs the Mountain Horticultural Research Lab just south of Asheville, and he's done a lot of crop improvement and also commercial plant improvement. So a lot of your favorite hydrangeas, a few other shrubs and perennials and small ornamental trees have been brought to the market through his research program up there. So this garden is going to showcase basically a good bit of what he's brought to the market, and we have an agreement with Spring Meadow Nursery. If you're familiar with Spring Meadow Nursery, they create all the starts for proven winners. They have acres and acres and acres of greenhouse space that they're basically like ground zero for where you might be getting a lot of your stuff. So I've been working with her. She kind of helped me design and pick some of the plants off of his list that he's brought to the market, and we're she's growing a lot of it just for this, and then we'll get most of those in October, the remainder to come in the following spring. If anything doesn't work, she's going to say, all right, we'll try this, and ship them off to us, and that's all at no cost.
So is this going to be kind of a research?
Not really research.
It's a kind of trial showcasing the breeding that's been done by NC State researchers. Okay. So we're workshopping a name, NC State Horticultural Showcase Garden.
Because remember, when they develop these plants, they put them through the trials before they release them to the market.
Yeah, so these are already on the market.
These are already on the market. They might be like, hey, we're trialing this one. Do you want to try it as well? But we're not collecting data. We're not doing any of that stuff that would normally be collected during the trial. Yeah.
How do you spell his name?
R-A-N-N-E-Y.
This is one of my goals. I really want to connect this garden more closely with NC State. And so this is a way that we can show what NC State is doing at the university and then bringing that here to this garden to really showcase the plant breeding and plant sciences that are happening at NC State. So
the turf I mean, I haven't been out there recently, but I have a lot of people coming in because they're not from here. You know how it goes. And you just absolutely know how it goes. But just to see the texture of all the turfs, is that going to be kind of, I know there was one particular plot that just needed a lot of help.
Yeah, they all need help. But now that I have my 30-hour person, Madeline, if you haven't met her, she's nice. She's great, hard worker. The problem was getting on a schedule for turf applications, and that's what we're working for.
Yeah, we also have a lot of people coming in with the old ground parole.
Yes.
I think that's going to be more and more of a problem coming from Brunswick County.
But to see something that's resistant, or I don't know.
There is research now going that's starting with NC State. There's a researcher who's starting to do some work in ground parole, but it is pretty new. There is no treatment.
And, you know, Dr. The turf guy,
McCauley,
he says we're welcome to go back up there anytime and see the plots and the trials.
The orange ground foot is really cool.
In the orange one, I'm seeing the hot pink ones.
Yeah. Okay, going into our budget requests. First of all, I'm going to go to our finance, our treasurer, and let her talk about the new proposal for a bookkeeper. I think in our meeting in July, we're getting big, and filing our taxes, we can't fool around. Everything needs to be done by the book. And, you know, we need people that are bonded because we're handling a good bit of money. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's all well and good. So-and-so will do it for free, and that's wonderful, but that person is not bonded. So I think it's very important that we listen to this presentation and get this solved.
And just to sort of underscore that, you know, we're now a 501c3 nonprofit. You know, we really need to meet the standards that are typical. And, you know, every nonprofit I work with, which is quite a number of them, use a bookkeeping service and use a CPA for their tax purposes. So what we did is find out, which was a wonderful information, that both the Friends of the Arboretum and the Ability Garden use the services of a woman by the name of Donna Meacham, who is a CPA, and she has a bookkeeping service as part of her program. So Steve and I went to see she and her staff a couple weeks ago. And she explained how things are done. In fact, she even has a courier that comes over and picks up different receipts and things here at the Arboretum once a week. You know, so that was really helpful. Of course, since she's been working with these other groups for probably close to 10 years or whatever, you know, Robin said she stopped doing the reports, the bookkeeping for the Friends like in the 2018 or something, you know. I had no idea it was that long. So anyway, she's very familiar with what we do here, Meacham, M-E-A-C-H-A-M, Donna. So she is happy to work with us. She's given us a proposal where she would do the bookkeeping every month. It would cost $290. There will be a subscription that they will use QuickBooks, but it will be actually in our name, and that costs an additional $10. So it's basically $300 a month, actually. And then she will do the 990, which is the IRS form that has to be submitted by
November,
I think. And so that's going to cost $800. So
that's a one-time cost, the $800?
Pardon me?
Is that 800 one time in the
one
year?
Time, yes. And they actually will start working on the, for all of her clients, she starts working on the 990 information in August so that she can prepare to submit it by probably sometime in October to meet the November 1 deadline. She's
you're very qualified, works with a lot of nonprofits in town, and, you know, from my understanding, is the Friends and the Ability Garden have been very happy to work with her. So my proposal is that we, you know, engage their services. There would be sort of a yearly contract sort of thing, and so she's given me the proposal, so we would just approve it, and then I'll start working with her and her staff to transfer all of our books from Quicken, which is a different sort of program, over to QuickBooks, and that'll actually happen right away.
Okay, so this is coming from finance, so we're going to make that. Could you just state that in the form of a motion so we can discuss it and then vote on it?
Okay. So I propose that we engage Donna Meacham, CPA, to do bookkeeping for the Master Gardeners Association and the yearly 990.
And do you have a yearly?
I just figured out $400.
I mean, $300 a month.
Yeah.
And plus the $800.
Yeah,
that comes out to $4,400. It'll be $600 a year.
That's already in the budget.
Okay, yeah, that's what her told me.
Steve, you want to speak to your experiences?
No, I think it's a wise decision for us to proceed with getting a bookkeeper. Having been in charge of books, you can see that there's a definitive difference between a person who has had experience financially, both before and after me. Not saying that I did anything wrong, just a case of saying I had a hard time figuring it out. So when we go out for nominations for people, having a bookkeeper would be a benefit to when you ask. Mm-hmm. And of course, I think the only reason why, probably the primary reason why we're doing this, is because Donna has had experience with treasury items, and all I can say is I'm completely on board for this. And that's why when I initially gave Donna the budget under professional fees, it used to be $1,000, and I upped it to $4,600, simply based on the estimate of $300 a month and the $800. So, I am for it. As a non-voting member.
Yeah, we do need a second. We need a second.
I second.
Okay. Karen's seconding the motion.
And I really think that this is an important step for us. And fund accounting applies GAAP far, far more than it once did. But fund accounting, generally accepted accounting principles, but funding and accounting has some significant differences, and you need an accountant who understands fund accounting, and clearly Meacham does with the work that she's been doing with not-for-profits. And that's really important, and it's hard to find people sometimes who have experience with fund accounting. I had experience trying to find people in the past.
I think populous area. Really unusual to find someone who already is familiar with our organization.
So it's an investment, but I think that Steve and Donna can both speak to this. Don't ask me to do money, okay? That's just not my, I balance check, but it's difficult, it's daunting, it's a lot of responsibility.
It's a lot of time.
Mm-hmm. And knowledge and expertise. Making sure that things are in the right line item, and things come up that are sort of questionable, and we will be well served by having a professional to do this.
And
yes,
I got a question. Maybe I missed something, but you said it's $300 a month plus the $800.
It's $4,400 a year.
$4,400, you got $4,600.
Well, we're going to talk about D&O in a minute, and that's over what I'm proposing. So.
Well, again, Glenn, we originally had $1,000 in that professional service, and the professional service that we had the $1,000 for was for our previous person that did the tax return. It covered nothing else but that. So that's why I only did, I'll rephrase this. It was an estimate on my part as to what the professional fees were. We're here to talk about the budget, and I'm not sitting here as a board member, but if you feel like you need to increase something, grants, do it now.
Why? That's exactly why.
Yeah. Clarify.
That's why we're here.
I appreciate that.
All right.
Also, though, we need to probably better have a system of getting, turning in receipts, I would think.
Give me what?
Well, turning in receipts.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you actually. Know. And my plan is to sort of develop sort of financial policies and procedures, you know, so that we have
perfect.
A real clarity as to how we will.
Yeah.
When you will order something to, you know, when the bill gets to me and when I pay, mm-hmm. and we have some clarity.
Well, I know that things can haphazardly be purchased.
Right.
And then maybe
we
not.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
We don't do that. And that's a great segue into my standing okay. goals, which I'll.
Well, the treasurer
about.
Used to do that. Okay. I would fill out the request when I got something.
Yeah. Yeah. So my plan is to, you know, pretty soon develop some clarity about that and then. You know, communicate that with you, but also want to talk with you all about it so to make it easy. We don't want to make this onerous and really difficult, but we want to make it efficient and so that we have a way to track it so that nothing falls through the gaps.
And just to let you know, because I've worked with Meacham Company for several years, they're very good to work with. And if you ever want a meeting to go over some things in terms of process or protocol, make changes, whatever. They're very open to coming together to have a meeting and work out whatever the details are.
Okay. Yeah, I'm thinking in terms of the plant sale, the amount of money that comes in and out. Is there anything that she would do regarding making sure all those numbers are accurate?
Or is that just some ways of doing
that? The day-to-day plant sale and closing out a register from day-to-day, that's
our responsibility.
Yeah, okay. I'm just curious because I'm not the finance person.
No.
So how do you, are you saying that based on supposition that they weren't accurate this
year?
I'm just asking.
I'm just saying if this person has these skills, would that ever apply to something like the revenues coming in from the plant sale?
Well, they will get, they're going to have a view only ability to see our checking account data and our credit card data from the bank. You know, I will send them copies of all the invoices and the check information. And so they are the ones that actually put it into a computer program, you know, have everything that relates to meals and entertainment in that category, you know. So, they will sort it all out and whatever. They get the information that I send them. They won't be here for the plant sale doing anything, you know, but, you know, I will work closely with them to make sure it happens. And, of course, having them coming here to pick up things from Robin and I had a conversation about that, you know, we can have them, you know, we can use them, you know, to transfer information, so I think it's going to make it a lot easier.
Okay, I'm just.
No, it's a good question.
I have a good question.
Yes.
Any further discussion?
Let me know what you give them.
Any other discussion?
So the treasurers.
Okay, all those in favor of committing to this bookkeeping service, which is going to be something new for us, we say
aye.
All right, and you've got the. All right, next thing, directors and officers insurance. So this is something we do not have. And we had a vacancy on the board, and Joan Kelly was asked to step into the position of vice president for the remainder of last year. And when she found out we did not have directors and officers insurance, she refused. So this prompted us to look into this, and pass this out this way. anybody can sue anybody for anything. And since we do not have this insurance, they're going to come after your personal funds. So this is a way of protecting you serving on this board, every one of you serving on this board. I can't begin to think about reasons why we might be sued, but I think we're vulnerable in certain ways. So this proposal is for $1 million worth of insurance. Everything that is checked on this list is what is covered, and I don't do insurance either, but I spent a lot of time talking to Joan, because she does sell insurance. This is the company that we actually have our liability insurance with, and we also have a bond through McGriff. McGriff is the parent company. They are owned by March and McClellan, which is the largest insurance company in the world. Cincinnati is also a very good, solid insurance company.
Caroline, the Friends also have the exact same coverage, $1 million.
Yep. I think any organization, I was talking to another organization that I belong to, and I said, you really need to look for this to protect yourself. So that's what this is for. So Joan has said, and I'll just quote, I reviewed and didn't see any red flags. They include a capital N, which gives you an additional $250,000 for a side A coverage, so that's good. It's not an unlimited limit, but for the money, which is cheap, it's far superior to what you had. I would go with it. The only other thing that I just answered an email, the only other thing that I'm a little concerned about is our bond, and I want to know who that bond covers. Does it cover our volunteers working in the plant set? I'll tell you a little story. I lived in Fayetteville. And this was kind of this is a small southern town. I mean, it's got the feel of that. There was a woman who was a teacher at a very, I mean, it was public school, but she was a teacher there. She was kleptomania. And everybody knew it. And when she went into stores, everybody kind of knew, well, she was there. And probably knew she pocketed something. But instead of making a big deal out of it, they just called the family and said, well, she's at it again, and then they would return that. So you'd hate to think about your colleagues being sticky fingers, but it happens. It really happens. And I would hate for a cash register to be $2,000, $3,000 short, and then what do you do? So that's the part of our bond that I'm not really sure about, and I just answered an email from the security specialist. She said she was going to get the bottom of it. Who exactly is covered? She don't know.
Is that surety?
It's the surety, yeah.
Treasurer.
And it's through McGriff. We went to McGriff.
It's only for the president, vice president, and treasurer. That's what I read.
That's it. Okay. So, and then that was my question to Michael Wynn, who is the agent that I've been working with. He's in Raleigh. So I started calling insurance companies. I called the one here in Wilmington, and nobody would pick up. So eventually I got shuffled over to Michael Wynn, who's been very nice and very helpful to me. So that's what we were trying to figure out with the bond, and then do we need to add this crime? So this is the amount that it would cost us per year, $795.
This is for the $1 million liability.
For the $1 million liability. Directors and officers liability.
Can we talk about the alternative?
Yes, we did get another quote. And I'll just say, at this point, and you're welcome to speak to those, I think it's good to have everything under one umbrella going into this. If we want to change it over to another company, all of it, that may be something that you want to consider. Do you have a breakdown of what your company?
I have the proposal.
Okay.
So I thought that we should have at least two quotes to consider as we go forward with this. So I asked for information from other nonprofits as to who they use, and they use a local insurance company, James Moore, which is actually not too far from here. And I met with their, she's an account executive, I guess is her title. And so they use a United States, it's called USLI, is the insurance company. The amount that they recommend, but there's various different options as to coverage amounts, but for $1,000, it's $698. So it's a little bit less than their proposal. The advantage, you know, of using a local, and they're an insurance broker, they also work with Cincinnati Insurance, you know, so it's possible if we went with them that our other insurance could be brought over and part of the same umbrella. And, you know, their local is somebody easy to sit down and talk to. They're familiar with lots of nonprofits. This particular agent works only with small businesses and nonprofits, and she's very knowledgeable. So there is an alternative, and it's a little bit less.
Did you say $1,000 or a million?
It's a million, I'm sorry. I said $1,000, but I meant a million.
And the cost of that is $690-something compared to?
$795, but I'm not sure if we're talking about.
$698. Is the coverage the same? The number is
yeah.
The same.
I don't know. I've got your breakdown. Yeah, I've got your breakdown there.
Yeah. That would be the key because one.
I want to go forward with this today.
Yeah.
You know, because I think the sooner we can get this in place, we don't want to wait until September. We want this in place.
Donna, from your read, does that company provide the same items of service as what Caroline's talking about?
Well, you know, I didn't have a proposal, so I didn't have any way to.
This really came in like this past week, and neither one of us had a lot of time on our hands to get together and meet, or me meet with this other lady. But
United
you
States
now have it, and I think you know, having somebody in town to be able to sit down with, that's fine. And this Krista girl just got back with me. She's the one with the surety. And she said, to answer your question, whoever specifically listed on the bond is who is covered. So I think we've established that. And that's where the issues lie. Well, the bond was transferred into our agency, which tells me a lot about what's going on here in Wilmington, that I couldn't get up with anybody here in Wilmington.
Does that company have any kind of representation either here locally or in this region?
She's in Birmingham. This is for the bond. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other insurance and liability is Michael Wynn, and he is in Raleigh. But he's answered my phone calls. He was on a conference call with us. I think he's, we got a small policy. We just have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
But he's not with Cincinnati.
He's with McGriff, who is a subsidiary of Marsh & McLellan. Marsh & McLellan is the largest insurance.
But the liability insurance is with Cincinnati.
Correct. It's just like you go into a, I don't even know what a good example would be.
Well, they're all brokers. So
yeah,
they're
right.
Insurance brokers, and right. Then they go
exactly.
Put together
they go find a product
package
you.
With your
right.
Insurance
yeah.
Products.
Right.
Yes.
Do you want Folgers
so,
Coffee? Do you want Maxwell House? Do you
yeah.
Want Starbucks? You know,
right.
What's going to be the best?
And sell it to whoever they want.
And they, yeah.
I personally wouldn't go to anybody who doesn't answer the phone. If you can't get to talking with them, I would just abandon.
It's hard. It's really hard. They've got this system where you just. You either have to have the last three letters of their first or last name to get a message across. You can't speak to service representatives. Fortunately, I've had people to call me back. Krista's been very helpful. She's in Birmingham, but she has answered every one of my emails, including right now. She's answering my emails. So
I personally think there's a lot of value in having somebody you can sit down face-to-face
with
and that other local nonprofits.
And that's a different agency. So I've gotten kind of confused as to what we're taught. What is the, yeah. Are we making a decision about which agency? I'm unclear.
Vote, and I don't know, I'm president. I don't, I think someone else, I can make a motion. I don't think Robert's rules forbids me from making a motion. I just think I should just kind of stay neutral. It's just that I ended up working on this. Yes,
I have a question. You talk about liability, and are we talking about everything for $795?
I think we should vote on approving director's insurance, and then you know, we could have a small group that actually look at these two proposals and make a decision between them, would be my suggestion.
So the $795 is for the bond or liability?
No, the bond, hold on now.
The 795 is for the D&O, right? Directors and officers.
It's cut off. The amount due is cut off. That should be in our last.
Glenn, I think, you know, personally, when John was asking me questions about what our bond was, as a non-insurance type person like everyone is here, it becomes very confusing to the common person to say, We're talking about bond. The bond that you're talking about is different from the bond she's talking about. And liability, you know, it's kind of like they don't put all of this stuff in one. So your question is, we have liability insurance for events that the Master Gardeners put on. We have surety, which is a bond for, I forget the category of insurance it is, but it is not to protect the board members from lawsuits. What Caroline is talking about is a bond insurance that covers the executive board or the board of directors. So if somebody comes in and says, I'm suing you because you parked behind me, then you're covered by this bond. That's the hard part, is you're paying for three different,
because we currently have three different types of insurance.
Yes.
Okay, the bond insurance was $359. The Cincinnati Insurance for Liabilities, or our organization, is $820. We're proposing another $795 to insure this board.
Yes.
You know, you looked at me wrong. You didn't accept me into your Master Gardener program. You didn't let me get a, you know,
well,
whatever.
It's more that you have fiscal responsibility for what we do. You have the relationship with the bank. The bank can issue, you can sign at the bank. The bank can issue credit cards in your name, in the treasurer's name. Those three people who have fiscal responsibility overall for, I mean, it gets delegated to us, but it's your responsibility when you delegate to us, and that's what this covers.
Right. I mean, if she accidentally has a plant that's toxic and somebody decides, oh, you've sold me a toxic plant, I'm going to sue you. You know, they may sue the extension, but having been married to a physician, it's a blanket. It's a big blanket. And you need, the problem is for the defense, for your defense. That's where your money's going to be, because it's several hundred thousand dollars at the get-go.
It is. And so I propose that we, like your suggestion, I propose that we approve the purchase of D&O liability coverage for the board, for the executive officers. And that anybody who has skill in this sit down and compare the two proposals and choose one, because I don't think $100 is a significant difference. And if they choose the $100 one because we've got more data here or more check boxes or whatever, I'm fine with that. So, not And we could tap it if we wanted to at $800. But
yeah, I would like to see this happen within the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
No.
Before September. I'm going to second her motion. That was a motion.
All right. Do you have the wording for that? That was not.
And then I have I'm sorry.
All right. So the motion was, you want to go ahead and say it? Thank you.
Motion to approve that the Master Gardener Association purchase directors and officers insurance for the fiscal year. I assume it's probably a yearly kind of thing.
And another thing that Joan and that you, there was going to be some small group, I don't need to be a part of that, that's going to decide which organization we go through. Joan suggested that if we went with McGriff, Cincinnati through McGriff, that we get it so that we start payment, but then I guess it would be prorated so that we would then pay the two insurances at the same time the next cycle.
Just don't make sense.
Yeah, it needs to make sense. Make it simple.
The Cincinnati insurance, I think, is up for renewal in October.
Yes.
That sounds right to me, too.
So what's the amount that you're talking about?
I'm talking about $1 million coverage is $698. It can go $2 million is $1,198. $3 million is $1,698. Goes up to $5 million at $2,698.
So. Yeah, but the motion was made. Is there a dollar amount associated with that motion?
With the D&O insurance.
The motion would
just
say, yes,
just get the insurance.
I think
The motion was if we get the D&O insurance.
Well, that's a no-brainer. I mean, we need it.
Yeah.
I thought we had
so
it.
We need an approval. We need to vote.
Well, I think just for the sake of discussion, to make it easy, and I know you've got some. You like this person, and I get that. And having somebody in town is nice. But to move forward quickly, I think just going with this Cincinnati, which is with the same company we're at, bundling it together, I think that makes it just a little neater and kind of nice.
It makes it easier to manage. And when we change officers every year, having it easy to manage might be a good plant.
With the D&O, though, I don't think, are officers' names listed, or is it just, okay,
it's the title.
Whomever is in that position, and it flows.
Yeah.
And just general conversation, if we right now are saying, yes, we're going to get it, which we need it, but if we're going to do anything competitive, we need to, like a short turnaround, I mean, we need this insurance.
That's fine. I'm leaning towards let's go ahead and let me call Michael today. Then if we want to change insurance companies to have somebody in town, let's just see how it goes.
Because you can always cancel, you get, prorated money back and you have everything. You have a little more time to do the research. I don't have a problem with that at all.
Yeah, I don't either. I like. We can go ahead and do the research on the whole policy.
Okay, so now we have an amended motion. So her motion originally was to compare the two and make a decision.
That motion was to approve directors and officers insurance.
Yes. All right, so let's go ahead and vote on ahead and bite the bullet on the directors and officers insurance.
To approve purchase of directors.
Purchasing.
That's the basic thing.
I'm still seconding it.
That's
okay.
Got it?
Okay.
No. So wait a minute.
So are we done both of them now?
We're voting on one motion.
One motion. The
first motion is to purchase directors and officers insurance.
That was seconded by Karen a while ago.
Well, Patty seconded it first. Okay.
But is that... Is the part of the motion due that get bundled with the other insurance we already have?
No, this is just the first motion. So let's vote on the first motion, the the concept of buying directors and officers insurance. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. All right. Now, I will entertain another motion as to how we are going about purchasing this at this point in time. And I don't want to make the motion.
Well, I'll throw this out. Since there's only a difference of $100, I make a motion that we accept the policy that is in line with Cincinnati, so we just have an umbrella policy.
So it is with Cincinnati. It's through a company called McGrew, which is part of Marsh & McLellan, and our agent is Michael Wynn, who is in.
Is that a motion?
That's my motion.
All right. You got that, Madam Secretary? We'll wait.
All right, so did you first it?
Yep.
And you seconded.
So we go ahead and purchase the policy through Cincinnati.
Call the vote.
From McGriff. And our agent is in Raleigh. All right.
Yeah, but totally not with motion at all. Given a
that's
little
right.
More,
this is time for discussion.
That's right. With a little more time to research.
Yeah.
And be sure that apples to apples, we can look at what company gives us the best bang for our buck with
equal
insurance.
Yeah, we have liability, we will have directors and officers, and we will have the bond, which includes the president, the vice president, the secretary, and the treasurer. Right. Now,
okay.
Do you want me to see if... I'm worried about the single money.
That wasn't my motion, Cheryl. My motion was that the whole bundle goes with Michael Wynn.
Yeah,
and
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
Okay.
But
have
we
voted
on that? No. I think the motion is, yes, we're going to get the insurance now with the current company we have for this $795.
Right.
Two separate motions. We've approved getting
yes.
the insurance,
yes.
and now we're going to go with
Knowing that someone can do research and see,
exactly.
Absolutely. So that's that
absolutely.
Kind of ends.
Yeah, go shopping. But, you know, now we have time. We can do it more leisurely manner. And when you want somebody local, then that's perfectly fine. Yeah. All right, ready for the question?
I got a question.
Yes, sir. That's what this is for.
The officers.
Yes.
President, vice president, secretary, treasurer.
And directors.
And
directors and officers.
And past presidents.
Yes, sir.
And the board.
And the board.
Okay. I'm confused now. My motion was for you to go ahead, if it was and go ahead and purchase that insurance.
Yeah.
What I hear Cheryl saying is, let's now go out and look at...
No. She's just saying that... after we take a deep breath and we have this in place, if somebody wants to go out and shop...
For the following year.
Yeah.
All right.
Are we ready for the vote? Everybody understand?
Okay.
All those in favor of going with the Cincinnati Insurance Company, Directors and Officers Insurance through McGriff, which is in Raleigh, say aye.
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 And opposed?
Okay. I'm abstaining.
Okay.
All right,
now,
so
related to insurance, can we ask our insurer if there's a short-term policy available that would bond the people handling the money during the plant sale? Because that might be...
But then, you know, I've got a credit card. What if I decided I wanted to go book a cruise and I'm going to use my credit card to, you know. So there's just a lot of things.
With the D&O protects.
But those are good questions to ask an insurance company.
But that short term is probably not all that expensive.
or other events that you mm-hmm. decided.
Yeah,
and
we decided we want
also.
To have another fundraiser, which we
right.
can.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. All right, so I think we're ready for your presentation. Yeah, yeah, well, we're going to let them go ahead and do their presentation. Our consumer horticulture agent, extension director, is going to do their presentation for
she just talked about this. She brings up the project. Oh, there. There.
Yes.
I think I got it, but I think we just got one.
Is that good for everybody?
Slide around. Great. You know, y'all can't probably see it too well, but I'll go ahead and get started. So, as Amy mentioned, I think we all kind of agree it's very important that the association is supporting extension whenever possible, so that way, you know, it's a reciprocal relationship to kind of extend our mission, right?
Yeah.
And so that being said, you know, as you all know, because I've mentioned it numerous times and you all have been here for a while, our mission in the Extension Master Gardener program specifically and for consumer horticulture is to extend education from NC State University to inspire Northonians to adopt these sustainable practices and kind of better our ecosystems. Yeah.
Or she could get a copy of this.
Sure, I can. Yeah, I can send you a copy of this presentation to make things easier for me. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so, in order to work towards our mission, we are able to work with the association to deliver this research and deliver these opportunities not only to the community but to our Extension Master Gardener volunteers. And I want to make sure that we have mission-aligned work. But in order to do that, some ideas that I kind of have that we can put into place for this year and some things we've already been doing, educational programs, some science-based publications that I've purchased fairly recently, and I'd like to continue purchasing, some continuing education experiences for our existing Master Gardener volunteers and our new volunteers coming up, and then scholarships for prospective students, potentially. And then one more item that's not on this list is the, but it is in the presentation, the Native Plant Festival printing of the programs, because that is something that is now falling under consumer horticulture, and it's definitely mission aligned, and so it's something that the association has supported in the past, but I would like to be on record and continue to support. So kind of starting off, just a little bit of background as far as what we've already done this year. These are just two highlighted events. You can see the Fire Tiger workshop that we offered earlier this year was super successful, and we offered that completely for free to the public. We had 18 attendees, and the cost worked out to about $15 per participant, so that was about $270 to support these 18 attendees. And then we also offered container gardening workshop to the Brightmore community. We did charge for that, but in the future, I would really like to make that even, you know, a reduced cost or potentially free for participants. And that worked out to about $20 per participant for 9 participants, and so it was about $180 in total. And so the Fire Cider workshop in particular was something unique that not only was it, you know, regarding plant education and what plants we can use, but it was actually an extension collaboration with Family and Consumer Sciences as well. So that is just multidisciplinary in how we can kind of work together. And then educational programming that I kind of want to propose for this year. I would really like to do some native plant giveaways, especially opportunities. Not only are we giving away the plants, but we're also educating the public on native plants at the same time. So it's an incentive and a learning opportunity. This in mind, my kind of vision is to have at least three events throughout of the year or within a year time frame, and give away possibly 50 plants at each of those events. So having three of those events in total, maybe $2 a plant, depending on what options we have. And then another container gardening workshop, like we did similarly with the Brightmore community. Again, making that either reduced cost or completely free for participants. There are a lot of people interested in this. I can tell you on my feedback form, whenever I submit for feedback after an event, it is the number one requested ask is a container gardening workshop or activity. And then plant pressing and preservation. This is also something that people are very interested in, and there's not a lot of education on. So it's also something I'd like to offer this year, potentially, you know, providing fresh flowers for them, a diversity of options, and then showing the preservation process and kind of the science behind that and how people can utilize those things creatively, you know, at home or what have you. But this is just a few ideas that I have for workshops. And again, I'm always open to more ideas as well. Publications that I've already purchased this year and I would like to continue to purchase. So there are two options here. One is the Tree Owner's Manual. I've already purchased this. It's something that I'd like to give each student in the Master Gardener class, as well as provide copies for the plant clinic. I've already purchased 50 of those for this year, but it's something I'd like to keep purchasing, and it's an extension publication that is not included. You know, so we have our extension publications that we get for free from NC State. It's the Carolina Lawns, the Landscaping with Native Plants, Urban Backyard Birds. Those are free, but these are not. And so I'd like to expand our offerings by purchasing these. Another one that we buy routinely is the Turfgrass Pest Management kind of Bible that everybody has. And I've already purchased those for our new students. That came out to about $800. They are pricey. I would like to keep purchasing those. I did also purchase booklets, the Plant This, Not That from Coastal Landscapes Initiative. We're in the works for purchasing these landscape designs. I know everybody loves those. They're a great resource to give out to the community to kind of get people brainstorming on how they can incorporate native plants into their landscape. So I would really like to go ahead and purchase these, but I know it's going to be expensive. So just having some funding in order to extend our reach through these science-based publications. And then continuing education, the classic Daniels Bus. This is a really great event that we went on earlier this year. We went to Raleigh to visit J.C. Ralston Arboretum. It was a fantastic educational opportunity for our volunteers. We did charge volunteers for attending, and that was beneficial because we were able to reduce the cost overall expense. So the bus itself cost about $2,400, almost $2,500, but we were able to reduce it about to $900 after all of those tickets were sold. And so I do have a planned event to visit the NCDA at Agronomics Labs and PDIC in Raleigh. This will be primarily for our new students. However, I would like to open this up to existing volunteers as well so that we can fill this bus out because, like I mentioned, I only have 33 students, and I think this would be a fantastic opportunity for volunteers who either have never been to these labs or who haven't been in a long time. And so I would really like to request at least $1,000 to help offset those costs because I have included some of those expenses for a bus like this in the tuition that the students paid whenever they signed up. But in order to provide this opportunity to more volunteers, I'm asking for additional funding. And then scholarships, at least having some sort of budget for scholarships. Ideally, I would like to offer 4 scholarships priced at $250 each. particularly to prospective students that are coming from a background where they just might not have the means, but they have the availability and the interest. And so I know that's a very niche demographic, but it's something that I'm really passionate about, and I really want to provide this opportunity and make the education more accessible to people in the community and really diversify our volunteer base. And I think this is a great opportunity to do that. Yes.
Is that the same amount, the $250, is that what they paid for this class?
Yes. Yes, $250 is the tuition for this class. Nobody that applied this year asked for a scholarship, but I think it's because we did not intentionally target a particular demographic, and that's something I'd like to work with Megan on, our communications specialist, so that we can reach the right community.
And we have a relationship with Haven Place.
Yes.
So that might be with a way to reach out to.
Yeah, there. Yes, absolutely. So again, it is a really niche demographic. They have to have the time and transportation and things like that. But I think it's possible, and I would love to provide the opportunity to somebody that could really benefit from it. And then historically, we have asked the association to support the funding of the Native Plant Festival printing or program printing. And this is a program, like I mentioned, the Native Plant Festival. It's an annual event that is directly aligned with consumer horticulture and is starting, you know, consumer horticulture is starting to really be more involved, especially over the years. We have requested funding in the past for this, and it has been approved since 2021. And so this year, the funding request is $500. This is just something that I'd like to officially put on record rather than just a one-time ask. I'd like for this to be an annual ask. Okay. And then kind of to sum everything up here. Yes.
Going back to your previous slide, so the money, it's another organization, right, who actually does this publication?
It is.
So the extension that we, have started this festival. I think this is our 10th year, so Extension really started this festival for our natural resource program. It is a committee called the Native Plant Alliance, which is an assortment of different groups. Going Green does print this publication, and they are one of the partners on the Native Plant Alliance. So no money goes, this is not benefit Going Green in any way, the money is simply for the printing of the program.
In the past, this was under the advertising and marketing category.
I think that's been a confusing.
I can find a line item for Native Plant Festival.
I think it's been confusing over the years because there's always been sort of like, oh, we'll get an ad in the program, or what. So we're just asking you, will you help us print this program?
I think, based on the dates that you have there, that the monies that were earmarked for this publication were approved before the end of the fiscal year of 2022. The monies were approved before I took over as treasurer because we did not submit any money to anyone for.
Right.
So it's
and it, that seems to have happened again this time around.
Yeah.
You know, we had that conversation before the transition. So just to avoid any confusion, I'd really like to just put it in my request and make this an annual ask.
So it just gets switched. Is that what you're asking, saying? That it's already in the budget? Is that right?
No.
I just want it to be not clear.
No. I want it to be included in what you're asking.
What my ask is.
Yes. And I think that's smarter to do that.
Especially because we, again, like I had mentioned, consumer horticulture now has more hands in this event than possibly in the past. Or maybe, it's just something that I'd like to have more hands in, apparently.
So the total amount is what?
So I'm asking for $4,920.
You don't ask it now, you don't get it.
A question about the booklet. You were asking for.
Yes.
You've asked for a certain amount for volume, number of publications.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen when they run out?
Yes, so
they're
this
going to come back to us.
Right. So this is just the that's a great question. This is just the ask from you all. You know, I have been using consumer horticulture funds to support the purchase of those publications, but so that I can have an adequate amount without completely exacerbating my budget, I'm asking for additional funding requests.
I do want to mention one thing, because I'm coming from being in Brunswick County. Brunswick County provides programming funds for programs up there. So the horticulture agent over there every year gets $4,000, you know, plugged into their budget. New Hanover County provides no programming budget for any of our extension programming. Not one extension agent here gets programming funding.
That's
so
nobody's ever asked.
Yeah. Well, I'm here. So, you know, but so Gabriella, the money that she has is through solely the money that she
agents have fundraised over time.
That's true for 4-H. Do you know 4-H in Brunswick County gets $25,000 a year from the county to do programming here?
From the county.
And also, by the way, we get nothing from the state. We get $12,000 a year for travel, for our vehicles, for everything. So this is, you know, horticulture has done a great job of raising money for their programs over the years, but so this would be an incredible support for this program.
Again,
how are the scholarship recipients chosen?
Yeah.
Will every class have four scholarship recipients?
We would have four scholarships available, and you know it would be need based. So again, they would go through that traditional process of applying, but I have not finalized the criteria for that. But as I mentioned, it would be need based. So
that all four of them may or may not be used.
Correct.
As a non-board member now, what I see with regards to what you're asking, we need to, it's been my thought for about a year and a half now that we need to earmark some of what we've accumulated to go to something beneficial. And what I'm looking at this amount, for the total amount, $5,000, is only a small percentage of what we have. And I'm not making a motion because I can't. But I would say we'd be smart with our money to invest in the program, or at least subsidize.
I don't think we put it all yet.
I will have another ask.
This is just to kind of clarify, this is an ask from consumer horticulture specifically. So me as the agent, the horticulture agent, just asking the association for support. Donna, did you have a...
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you about your thinking about your choices of programming, I guess. You know, what I would really like to see, and I don't think that we, anybody in the community, does a very good job of public education around gardening, around horticulture, around, you know, changing. There's people's thinking about turf grass. I mean, all lots of different things. I mean, for small groups of students, that's great, but that's 30 people, you know. Just think about some. So I guess, did you think about, or could we in the future think about some kind of widespread, more public education?
That's not exactly what we do, though. I mean, that is what Extension's mission is, and we do it in many different ways. Some of it's public workshops. Some of it is our publication, the plant clinic. I mean, we have a multi-pronged approach into the community, and certainly, Donna, that's what our mission is.
And Donna, I'd like to say to you, you know, this is not all-encompassing of my programming. This is just a couple of options that I'd like to add on as kind of a treat for the year, you know, if I could in a dream world, because these do cost, right? But we constantly give free programming that does not require any sort of funding. You know, it's just public free presentations. We have hundreds of people in this room, or 800 probably we can fit in here, but we constantly provide presentations to the public. Yeah.
So the only thing I'm concerned about, and I think we could modify this request slightly, is if you didn't have students wanting scholarships, then there's this piece of money sitting there.
Well, it's a budget.
Right, it's a budget. But instead of you coming back to us and saying, I want to amend my budget, if we wrote it to be Extension Master Gardener training Extension
training
Master Gardener
support.
Training support.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then your intent would be to use it for scholarships, or if scholarships were not used,
to use it for other
educational support for.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. I do feel like I would, at that point, if we didn't have scholarships, you know, to offer, I would feel comfortable going and asking that of the board as well. You know, can we make this modification to my budget request initially?
Mm-hmm. To answer your question, sort of, when we were using Quicken, we had scholarships and grants, and each year we broke out the grants as a separate item under the header. So you could do that same thing with
this is completely
publications and scholarships under the line item of educational program needs.
Mm-hmm. And may I suggest that you just have a line item for consumer horticulture
and that she
presents a budget each year. This is how I intend to use the money, but you give her more freedom.
I wasn't saying necessarily that it's hard and fast. It's just a case of saying for education, educating the education, is that we're projecting this. That doesn't mean we can't use this.
That you can't move it between those lines, yeah. I agree.
That doesn't need to be reflected in the bylaws,
does it? I don't know. Let's think about that line.
And of course, if you're talking about even one scholarship, that doesn't necessarily have to be approved by anybody.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So I'd like to ask, really, my ask is, you know, for this $4,920, but this is my intent, but with flexibility, and like Amy said, a line item for consumer horticulture in the budget that I can go to and submit receipts to y'all. All right. Any additional questions?
Now, backing up just a minute, I'll just point out, put that slide up again. Education has about $4,000 in it. I think we budget $4,000, and that was down from $5,000 because grants wanted more money, if I'm remembering correctly from last year. So there's one of your $1,000 right there.
Mm-hmm. And this is something I'd like to discuss with you a bit more, but as far as education goes, you know, consumer horticulture and my position as an extension agent is to educate the community. And so I would really like to take on that role of, you know, education in your group. Not saying, of course, you all can plan guest speakers at your events and things like that, but as far as educating our community here, I would love your support in that, but I would really like to take responsibility for that as it is my job.
And I think, Caroline, the education line that you're talking about was really our continuing education of master gardeners.
But nobody else was doing it.
And so maybe that's just something else to consider. Maybe it's
two types of education that you're doing.
Yeah, she's doing
community.
She's doing for both. She's
I do both.
For both.
But you're doing both. Okay.
Yeah.
And
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I mean you could merge them. I mean, I'm just saying there is a distinction as far as
historically
apples and oranges here.
Either that, or you could put it. 6281 is now a program budget. Under education. So you have education, you don't have two separate.
If you want this to be a line item, that's all my finance.
Yeah, that makes sense to have consumer horticultural education be a line item in our budget.
All right, any more discussion about this? I don't know that we are ready to oh, yeah, you think, or are we made of them? I don't know. I'd like to hear some more about whatever.
Yeah, let me ask.
Yeah.
And then we can also vacate, too, if you guys want to talk about So Kevin is going to give a presentation here, but I want to sort of set it up a little bit. I'm really excited about this, you know, our partnership and your openness and willingness to use some of the funds that you guys have raised over the years to invest back in our horticulture program here. Just a little bit of background. I mentioned, you know, our budgets. We do, we have two full-time staff that take care of this arboretum garden. This arboretum, if you guys have been to some of the other extension offices, most extension offices have a demonstration garden. None are as forward-facing or as large as this garden. But this arboretum really is Extension's living classroom. It is our horticulture laboratory. We have upwards of 70,000 visitors here per year. And we use this garden really heavily for our programs. I also intend to use it quite heavily for professional trainings. I really want to see more arborist trainings here. We do pesticide trainings here. You know, I really want a major goal of mine to be to really enhance the educational quality of this garden. It is a beautiful place to walk around. People right now can look and find the names of plants. I really want to make it so that you walk around. It's not a passive experience. So we're going to be asking for signage for the garden. I think, you know, we do have our friends at the Arboretum. They fund our annuals, plants in the garden, hardscapes, things like that. I really like the association helps out with the educational value of the garden. And so that may mean, we're going to ask for signage today, that may mean helping us fund some new garden spaces as well. So Kevin's going to talk about this. It's a big ask, but we really want some high-quality signage in the garden so when people are walking around, they're connected to NC State and the research and information that we can bring to this garden. So I'm going to turn it over to Kevin, and please ask any questions, Jim.
It's been fun getting to know this whole process. So. Love it. My wife and I moved here 10 years ago in July, and this is one of the very first places we came to visit. I noticed then that there was no educational signage in the gardens. We had the storyboard walk. And then the past 3 or 4 years now, the friends have sent me to American Public Gardens Association annual conference. It's been in Dallas, Boston, and Denver, so I've been there 3 times. And we go take tours of all these just world-class gardens. And every time I'm there, I look at all their educational signs and say, why can't we do that? So that's what I'm going
to
be talking about.
You pay admission to go to those gardens, don't you?
What's that?
You pay admissions to go to those gardens, don't you?
It's all included in my conference registration.
Oh, okay.
So,
because I've been to a lot, and I paid.
Yeah.
I paid $25.
It's like Denver Botanic. That was like the perfect example. They have what's called a cultural tax. The people voted for a cultural tax. It's like pennies on the dollar, but all their museums, zoos, and botanical gardens are heavily funded through this tax, which is awesome. You know, that's for the people, by the people. Not quite what we're dealing with here. Like Amy mentioned, the county. They take care of some things, but they leave these other things kind of in a closet, and that's okay. So what we're asking today is kind of consider an educational signage campaign through the Arboretum to help our guests that we get to the tune of 80, 70,000 a year walk away with a little more than just kind of a stroll in the garden. So, guys, should speak.
You can.
So our current signage, it's inadequate, it's worn, it's weathered, it's economy grade. Any signage you do see out there now is what we've tried to do to try to stopgap what we're talking about today. The problem with that is we've used mom and pop shops. It's on 8mm corrugated aluminum. It's just a vinyl graphic with a clear vinyl over that. So it's basically two layers. And we really, what you know, we've had carnivorous plants, the signage in the butterfly garden, a few when the veggie garden was operating, and the Swiss. I think the native grain garden, those were like the only educational signs for a while,
yeah.
And not the only.
But they're falling apart. Yeah.
They're falling apart. So we're really kind of missing an opportunity. And,
and Pine Valley.
In Pine Valley. Yeah. They have signs there.
Yeah.
So what this future signage needs to be, it needs to be long-lasting, commercial quality, professional-looking, and it's going to help us optimize opportunities to really cash in on this, the amount of visitors we get every year. And that's not only tourists, but also our residents as well. And the beauty about some of these signs I'm about to propose is that they're interchangeable. So let's say we have an educational campaign. We only want to allow 50% of that knowledge to be on that sign for this year. Same message, different way the next year. So it's almost like getting 100% more opportunity out of the same piece of real estate. We've identified Paneer Graphics. There have been 45 years in the business. They're family owned and operated. Educational signage in public settings is their bread and butter. It's the only thing they do. Every stand is custom made, and every panel is made in-house. Panels come with a 10-year warranty. Bases come with a 1-year warranty, and speaking of the rep who gave me the quote, the panels normally don't last as long as the stands, and you'll see why in a moment. So that 10-year warranty is great. We hope to get 10 years out of them. If they don't make it to 10 years, they replace them for free.
Kevin, based on that, when you're talking about changing the information year to year, is that in terms of creating a whole new panel or an insert into the existing panel?
It'll be a whole new panel. I'll kind of get into that in the slide too. So the panels by this company are what they call a gel coat laminate. It's recommended by the rep there for the southern United States because their UV rays are so tough on them. They give us added UV protection, scratch resistant matte finish, and they're virtually maintenance free. They're graffiti resistant. So it's really just a matter of if you spill coffee on them, it's wiping them off pretty much. Anybody own a boat? So your gel coat, right? What is that for?
UV.
You have to put a new one on every year, but you also got it in the ocean, running against sandbars, you name it. We're not going to be doing that type of wear and tear on these, but that's what this is. So you can see there, we've only had the protective layer and the high resolution graphic in our current signs. And that's why they're all cracking. That heat thaw cycle just stretches, shrinks, and then finally that graphic just splits. The bases are true to aluminum, powder coated. I would probably go with color black. You can take the top off, pop a new panel in, take a panel out. Weeping holes for water, if it were to get in the channels, it just drops right out the bottom so you don't have any problems with rot. And they're really kind of a seamless, very nice, professional looking educational sign.
So if water gets in there, it doesn't damage those panels?
Nope, it's just
okay. It's just like a sheet of plastic is eventually
moved right through the whole system.
You could just wash it off.
So what's that process going to look like? We're going to identify needs. We've already been doing that. I've been building a list of where we have our educational opportunities. We'll plan the placement. We'll work with Megan to get these designed to kind of like unify the brand, unify the extension image. And then we submit all those files to the vendor. And once they get those, it's 30, 40 business days for them to manufacture and ship all those. Like I said, we're going to identify the needs. We, you know, current garden spaces, future garden spaces like the edible garden or food forest, alternative lawns, the native plant garden, carnivorous plants, the Swiss, all these things would get some form of educational signage sooner than just one. Maybe some gardens get 3 or 4. It all depends on kind of what we hash out in the middle. The way I've been looking at it over the past couple of years, we're probably in the market for like, was it 38 signs that I think we could fit comfortably in the gardens to really kind of get folks educated while they're here. That's kind of a breakout of a map where I've already kind of identified where we could use these signs.
$700
So I had the vendor quote to the tune of, I think, 38 signs, and the panels themselves are $210 each. The low-profile T-bases, if it goes directly in the ground, those are $550. If it needs to be mounted on concrete with a decorative cap to cover the feet, it's $785. Shipping per finished unit is on the order of $29. but that's probably based on shipping a lot of 38 of them. So we're probably going to see a price break if there's more, or if we try to chop this order up, you know, it's going to be a little more shipping because it's going to be separate freight each time.
Kevin, would Panier do the actual installation of all of these signs?
No, we would do that.
You and your staff?
So we're looking at, budgeting-wise, $790 per sign, and a majority of them are going to go in the ground, so be at that 550 price point. There's not a lot of spots where we can put a sign directly on the concrete because that'll get in the way of machinery or, you know, things moving that way. So budget purposes, $790 to $1,015 per sign shipped.
So you're talking $38,000?
Yep, $28,000 would be if we did this all at once. If we broke it off into 2 years, to the tune of $14,000, if we wanted to stretch it over 3 years, about $10,000 per year.
Anybody have a calculator? Because we got a lot of money.
Realistically, realistically, can you get it done in 1 year?
I think this would be between finding, getting the content, getting it designed. Yeah, about a year, year and a half.
Okay, but we don't have necessarily all the gardens to
exactly.
Put them in. For instance,
right.
There's no vegetable garden right now, and exactly. We're in the middle of redoing the rose garden area, so you wouldn't put a sign up there until those were
right.
Something there.
Right.
So would you order those later at that time?
Yeah.
Versus having them sitting in a closet someplace.
So, I mean, for the rose garden, for example, like we have a really good idea of what we want to educate in there.
Yeah.
That would be something I would probably put in the first initial order.
Yeah.
But more like the edible garden, still kind of working out, you know, what the timeline, that would be something I would put, like, we'll order that later.
Okay. And all of these are going to be the same style as far as,
style.
You know, where a logo would go and all that kind of stuff. So
yes.
It's
that's what I mean by the
from one spot to
another. Yeah, given that Megan, she's our communications specialist, and she's just incredible. She's really worked hard to make everything consistent across the board and be in line with our standards in terms of branding. Especially, you know, with New Hamburg County and NC State as well.
Amy, I would throw something out here. I would see this as a good opportunity for collaboration with the Friends. This is the kind of thing that the Friends group would like to get involved with.
Well, I do. So I will pause there and say that we do have things that we want the Friends to pay for. And so we're trying to spread the wealth here a little bit. So. I absolutely agree that this could be a cost share, but I you know, the Friends is putting out $38,000 this year for a brand new garden, so this is something I'd like to ask the association if they would be willing to fund all of the signage in the garden. So we'll be asking for other cost share things, like the edible garden will be coming up in the next year. That may be one that I come to you and ask that to be a cost share. So you know, I'm looking at, as a director, at all these pots of money I have, and I want to use them judiciously and wisely, and so I think this is something I'd like to ask the association to pay for.
And it certainly falls under our education
certainly
mission.
Does. Yeah. And that's, I'm really trying to target, you know,
what and I don't know the sign on the grounds that does not need to be replaced.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Donna, did you?
Yeah, well, I have a question about how the content, what's going to actually be the information, I guess. So who designs that? Do we do that and then give it to them?
Nope, we will do that. So that'll be our horticulture team. We'll get together and we'll be producing all of the content for it. Megan will do the design because she's a graphic designer, so she'll design the panels and then we'll give them to the company to print.
Will we include things like a QR code on there to like learn more about it?
That's my intention, is that that, you know, wherever is appropriate, that we're sending people to an NC State publication. You know, like learn more here, and we'll send you to this publication.
So long as we know that website
is
concrete,
solid,
it's not going
anywhere anytime
soon. Yep.
And ideally, you know, this is a really amazing project because it takes the garden experience from this passive experience into a more interactive experience. You know, we only have tours whenever Cheryl and her team are available or when they're requested, but now we can extend our educational reach to anybody that's visiting, just as they you know, tour the garden on their own time. So
I have one question for those who have been
officers before. This particular line item that's being asked for, does it not have to go to the association for approval?
The whole budget does.
Well, I know the whole budget does, but I'm saying this one thing, you don't want to sneak something in.
No, but I think we proposed the budget with every line item, every main category.
Yeah, we go through the line items and discuss
them. And Steve, you may be thinking, and I'm sorry, so I was talking, if during the year something popped up and it was greater than $1,000,
yep.
You know, then we would, but with this being in the budget.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, right now, I mean, I've just rounded it off. We're being asked for $33,810 if we go with the all at once.
Yeah, I just wanted that clarification,
right.
And that's what I was looking for,
right.
Because I know we did that with the audio visual thing, and we did that with the vegetable forest, and all of that was outside of the budget.
Right.
I just wanted to clarify that in my own mind.
Right, those were added later on instead of going through the whole budget at the beginning.
Just ask one more question about sort of having it all. So we provide them with just the design and the information, and they actually make it, or do we have to have it printed and?
So this is called print the file. So it would be just a matter of Megan compiling all the files.
Electronically,
and then in the graphic design world, print the file means this thing's ready for print. And so you send it to them, they feed it through the system, and they'll just crank out all 38 signs and be done with it.
Yeah, where I'm getting at is any additional cost for printing or for
this is inclusive in the cost for them to print.
How soon will you be ready to print all of it? How soon do you need money?
I would say in a year, year and a half.
So this is a great question. You know, if we're talking about a year and a half, I would imagine that this money would need to be spent by the end of this fiscal year.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's by June 30th. So it may be prudent, since our time span is compressing, to do the two year.
2 year.
Yeah. So maybe we'll ask 15,000 this year, 15,000 next year, just to cover any.
Amy, all three of you, in one way or another, have alluded to food insecurity. We did that phase one project for the food forest. And to what extent, in terms of signage related to the continuation of that project, do you envision happening? Is it going to be planned for at all to continue that project to its ending point?
Yes.
Or are we done with it?
No, we are. Our plan is, Kevin has in his budget to remove all of the remaining vegetable garden. It'll just be graded this year. And then next year, we need to secure the funding to create that food forest.
And that would be in where the vegetable garden is now?
Where the vegetable garden is.
In light of the fact that we're not anywhere near having a new building facility with, because that was going to reposition stuff, and so we're going to go with that.
We're going to go for it. We're tossing around names. I like the term edible garden, food forest. But yes, that will showcase, fruit trees. I really want to have a big blueberry area to highlight blueberry agriculture in this area. So that, and we already have identified several signs for that garden as well. Because like Kevin said, we kind of know what we think that's going to look like, so we can identify the signage for that now.
What did you decide with the quality of the soil that was problematic?
That's a challenge for sure. I mean, I think that what we've had to do in the rose garden is remove a lot of the soil and then bring in new soil is what we will likely have to do.
So the New Zealand problem there was mostly the herbaceous annual and herbaceous perennial that really needed to go after. They tend, I'm not saying it's bulletproof, but they tend to leave the woody perennials.
And that was the intent behind when Matt started the project, that he was selecting perennials that were immune to nematode invasion.
Yeah. So, Kevin, you should be able to use some of the money this year, because our current signs, it could be
our current signs, but also other areas of the garden that we've identified that currently have no signage can certainly be
Because what I was thinking is, and we're talking about 2 years, and I do think that we can make a decision that we would, it could be approved, you know, year one, year two, because I would think each year the port agent and your position would come back, you know, with a request for the following year based on needs. So so it could be different numbers.
This was just kind of like, this is what we're looking at cost-wise. You know, is this something you have an appetite for? And then if you do,
Have you seen this company's work before?
Yes. Talking to all the reps, they're always at the American Public Garden Association with the food. And then whenever I do talk to horticulturists on those tours, they're like, yeah, pretty your graphics. I mean, this company, it's their bread and butter. That's the quality they make. It's kind of closing out other considerations, like what I alluded to, alternate panels. You can potentially expand your education offering by 100%. The cost of the panel is only $200. It's the base that is the majority of the cost per sign. So if, and then just to keep, you know, visitors engaged, hey, I was here last year, but everything's new. And then also extend the life of each panel we do have. If we have it on display for a year, file it for a year, bring in a new one. And I would stretch out that 10-year warranty.
So that 38. You said there were 38 panels that you were requesting. Is that all includes alternate panels?
No.
Okay.
Like I said, so the bulk of the cost per educational point is that base.
Okay.
For $200, you can get a brand new message to the visitor.
That says 37 panels, 35 bases.
So the two difference would be like our entrance rules,
Yeah.
I'm calling it my liability waiver. If you walk past that sign and you
fall and break your
head, a fish bite your toe off, that's your problem. That's not my problem.
Madam Treasurer.
Yeah.
Okay. How much do we have to spend?
Well, I've told you what's in the bank, you know, and at this point, you know, I write a budget that's a balanced budget for every year. You know, it has all the traditional things that we have spent money on. This would be outside of that. So we'd be taking money out of reserves to pay for these additional expenses, because at this point, we're just covering all of our regular kinds of expenses. So it's all of our decision as to whether we want to take a good chunk of the monies in the bank and put it toward these projects.
So what you're asking is how much do we have above what the checking account has?
Well, I mean, I know that the plant sale did very well. I know that Grants is going to want a chunk of change. What Gabriella has asked for, some of it could come out of our education.
Yes.
With no problem at all.
It's what we did last
year. Shuffling it around.
It's what we did last year. The point, if I were going to continue this year, and I'm grateful that you have a very experienced person, and that you should be grateful that she's here, because I do believe she's on the money with the money. The one thing I will say is we have $136,000 or $137,000 in the checking account.
$137,000
Then we have a money market account that has
We have altogether. We have $301,000
plus the price. Yes. So
now,
that's your answer.
That's correct. There may come a year, nobody predicted COVID.
Right. Well,
and you can't. These things happen. So you have to protect yourself for a year where you may not be able to have fun.
And I'm certainly not promoting that, because when the new building was shaping up, that we would not have a 2026 plant sale and a 2027 plant sale, it was like, okay, if we're not going to have this, the excess that we have in the checking account gets moved to the CD. So you have $150,000 in the CD, and you still have money to spend. So that when that time comes, if you have that amount of money, you have the support for the propagation group, for native plants, for all of that. You know, it's how much you want to reserve.
And there probably ought to be, and I don't think probably now's the time to talk about it, but some kind of guiding principle here. We'll only spend X amount of reserves in any one year because we want to preserve money for the future. You know, so for instance, of all this money, I would not suggest we take half of it and spend it for, you know, whatever we wanted. I'm sure you can come up with a zillion different interesting projects, but I think we need to be conservative. The question is, how much would we want to spend every year? You know, so is it something like 15,000? You know, that seems reasonable. You know, maybe we come up with some sort of, we'll consider up to 10% of reserves spending for projects every year. I mean, we could have a sort of some guiding ideas about that.
Is it necessary for us to vote on this today?
We should, yes.
Gotta put it in the budget.
Yeah, so, you need to put it in the, you need to make a motion to move forward with both of them. Not necessarily for the amounts, just to get.
I'm looking for guidance.
Two years ago, we budgeted and approved during the year, but we added it to our budget, $15,000 to upgrade the electronic system here in this room because it was so bad. And during COVID, we weren't able to project to people outside. We just didn't have good Wi-Fi. And we put that on hold. Friends also was supporting that. We put all that on hold when it looked like the county was going to approve renovations and we were going to be renovated out of this space this year and not be using it. And those improvements would be made as part of the renovations. So that money went back into our coffers, into a CD, and is sitting there.
Well, that was 30,000. It wasn't 15.
Oh, I thought we had 15 for
a no, 30.
We put 30 in. Okay, yeah. So there's we have precedent for approving significant sums to support the arboretum, and I think that the signage is so important, and people. I mean, I have one of the gardens. Steve has one of the gardens. I don't know who else here has a garden here that they're responsible for. But this people look at the signs. But
I go out and look at the signs.
But they're falling apart.
We had to pull one out. Each individual plant doesn't have a sign. No. What is that?
Yeah.
And that's another thing.
And our garden does, but people, they're tiny. And that's another thing I would like to see us change in the future, get bigger signs for the plant ID. But right now, the bigger signage, I think, is really important to make this appear to the public as more of a public garden and explain why that garden is there, why this piece of garden is here, what it represents in terms of horticulture and It just makes sense to have that kind of information there. And people do come and take pictures of the signs.
Yeah.
You know? It's just, it really, I was hoping we would be able to have signs before we're on the garden tour this fall.
Yeah, well, it takes time.
One other distinction I'd like to make with your question about the overall budget. We've got all this money in savings. You take into account all of our expenses in a given year, as Steve presented at the last meeting back in June for the general meeting. On average, what's left over from our expenses for a given year is roughly $17,000. If you wanted to just spend off the existing budget of a given year.
I think it was about 70.
Year it was 28,000.
Well, you had said 17.
Maybe I did. I don't recall. But it really is a case of saying.
But it's going to change your year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It depends on
right
how good these folks do over here.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, you know.
But that's what we did had last year.
All right, does anybody want to make a motion?
So I move that we adopt the budget proposed by the Extension Service and include it as line items in our budget.
Okay, now which amounts do you want to break this down, the signage down
over
2 years?
I would break
it
down into two amounts, and signage for 2 years
and extension
budget for as just a regular line item. The signage budget is just a limited budget.
Yeah. Okay, somebody make sure our secretary
two line items.
One consumer horticulture agent support. Would that be a good title or not?
Consumer horticulture
or horticulture,
but take agent
program.
Program for 5,000.
And then
for
a
line item for Kevin's
needs.
Signage
for signage. You
want to pay? Yeah. You want to just have it be 2 years and you'll have it in there for two years, I guess.
Yeah.
Make it general.
Budget.
Yeah.
Make it general.
Yeah.
I mean,
just
say extension,
arboretum support.
Yeah. Cooperative extension, arboretum support.
Okay. And not round support, just arboretum.
And that make it loose in general.
Yeah,
so
for the line out of the ground.
Yeah, because I don't think we even heard extension support because you may want it for something else.
Right.
I would imagine you would want something else.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as having a
large
you
want to just do cooperative extension support with the understanding that this what we're asking for right now is.
So, is our motion to approve these specific amounts or just to adopt these line items?
I think the line item, if I'm understanding correctly, the line item for this year would be 15,000 for
it would be separate
arboretum support.
Yep.
And 5,000 for
consumer
education.
Horticultural
education. Is that two motions or both in one?
3 years.
So you have to create the line item and then make available that amount of money to it. That's the motion.
That's the motion.
So 20,000 total.
Yeah. Any more discussion? Who made the motion?
Nobody.
Cheryl makes the motion.
Okay.
And who's going to second?
I'll second it.
All right, John seconds. Patty, you're out of this one. And we've had a lot of discussion. Any further discussion?
I think Kevin's done a good job, particularly with the framework, because that's going to last for a long time.
Kevin, you came very prepared. I'm impressed.
This is actually something that Matt talked a lot about, because when we were doing grants, he would always say, the grounds were built out. You don't want to be looking for more native plants or something because there's no place to put them. But how about signage? You know, he would tell the individual groups, how about applying for the grant for signage? And nobody ever did, so. Yeah.
Well, just you know, kind of going, how can we rearrange some of our money and how can we, you know, I'm going to steal the thunder on the social committee. I think we can really save a lot of money on doing that annual dinner. I don't think we need to be spending $11,000. You did good bringing it down.
Graduation. Oh, yeah.
So I don't think that's who we are. And anyway, I think that's. All right. Communications, John.
Yeah, have a vote.
Oh, we need to vote on that. Yes, I'm sorry.
All in favor.
All those in favor of the yeah.
Aye.
We'll have a line item for consumer horticulture, a line item for arboretum support. And right now it's 15,000 for arboretum support, 5,000 for consumer horticulture. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you. That's a big change.
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, seriously, thank you.
I'm going to cry.
Historically, what we've done for communication, which is the next point of discussion here, this group has created an annual global advertising or marketing budget. and I think it's been either $4,000 or $5,000. Our contribution. Our contribution, basically, so far anyway, the only thing relating to press releases, announcements, other forms of communication is in association with the plan sale. Whatever amount of money we've drawn comes from that overall marketing budget for the association. And like I said, it's been $4,000 or $5,000. So if you want to continue that, that's probably going to cover.
Is that your recommendation?
Yeah. I'm not sure what the line item is, but it was never part of communications. Let me put it that way.
You're talking about advertising.
Advertising promotion, exactly.
Right. Which is $1,000
for this coming year.
That's at the top.
Yeah. That's the way it's always been.
No, I don't think it's all plant sale.
Plant sale has its own line item for advertising.
Mm-hmm. Which has been the bulk of our advertising during the year, and we haven't used it for other
things. That's where
that's the
it's
plant
been
sale.
Yeah.
Okay.
$5,500 is budgeted for this year.
How much?
$5,500.
Okay, but let's not talk about plant sale right now. I mean, I think that's what we're talking about, but if we go to the budget, which is $6,100, advertising, promotion, marketing, $1,000, and we spent nothing last year, and I don't know if we look at the actuals for years past, have we ever spent anything? What the problem did we spend that on?
It's always been focused on the plant sale.
Okay.
So I think primarily, now that we're a 501c3 and we may entertain other things, that may change.
Well, that's a good point.
In my tenure as treasurer, we did not use that line item.
$6,100.
No, the line item 6,100.
Yeah, we just didn't know.
Have you look at the budget, Caroline? Yeah, look on that one page.
Okay.
And for line item 6,912, we have come close to spending all of it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Every year.
Gabriella, you had mentioned earlier in your presentation recruitment and increasing recruitment out into the general public.
Specifically to targeted demographics.
Yeah, but if that is going to entail some kind of cost in advertising, unless you've already got that budgeted in your own account, then I would see that coming out of 6,100.
We haven't talked about putting money into advertising, but that could be something.
Well, it's there. It's been there for at least 3 years.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be great. I would love to really figure out how to utilize that appropriately. But
and when you do look through here and you see the zeros, how many zeros we have from last year, you've got quite a bit of money. You've got $5,100 that was not spent last year. You know, it's almost like those are places where, we need $1,000. We'll take it from here.
Capital equipment, was that for a computer the year before last?
Software.
So we have a computer.
Upgrade, and Steve had to do not last year, but the previous year, how to upgrade the laptop.
But I use the Office and software. That's hard. That's under 6,130.
Yeah. So that's what they moved, right?
Pardon me?
Are we going to not use that anymore since we have the
Well,
you probably have to do that regularly.
No, because if we're not, the only thing we're going to pay is $10 for the leasing of the QuickBooks.
Yes, but the capital equipment, 6,820, we probably won't use this year.
Well,
we probably need
we always,
to keep the line.
You know, and it's kind of like we have this miscellaneous funds for the plant sale. It's like, you know, how many funds do you want to buy equipment with?
Well, I know, and I'm fixing to make a recommendation about education. But go ahead.
But hold on. Related to miscellaneous Steve's just talking about, due to damage this past year in the plant sale with tents, I've got to purchase two more tents.
Yeah.
Okay? And maybe need a couple of hoses. So there's going to have to be at least $500 in that miscellaneous budget for plant sale.
We didn't get there yet.
It really is a shame that those plants are those tents aren't worth a crap.
Well, $5 to $10.
Yeah.
Because we're buying two every year.
Well, when they get blown up and over and into the pond.
It's not just the plant sale. We're not the only ones that use it.
We can't. I mean, it's, if you need to go, you need to go. But, I mean, we just got a lot of money. Does anybody need a biological break?
I've got a tour at 12:15. But anyway, so...
I think the rest of this is going to be fairly quick.
Okay.
Well, yeah. With the exception of Jeanette and Roken, they may have.
Well, let me talk about education. Okay. I think most of our education money is going to go to extension. Why don't we just make education $1,000?
I agree.
It needs to be any more.
I agree. And I tell you, several years back, the reason that I remember, because. The intent of that line item was education for master gardeners, and we were hoping to get a couple of higher dollar speakers to come talk to us. So that's why money was put in there, and then it kind of stayed through the years, but then it was like never used.
Right.
You know, so.
Right. So I just.
That's like the speaker bureau.
I have a question about that. In particular, do we pay speakers? My question is, do we pay speakers at all to come to our meetings?
Anybody coming from NC State cannot take money. Now, okay. We gave $300 towards, I'm terrible with names.
Dan, I forget his last name, that came locally that spoke.
No.
It was a woman.
No. The woman who came from...
Oh, and talked about the medicinal purposes?
No. This was a professor at NC State, and I think I gave her $300 just to
for her research.
But it seems to me that if you're having speakers come to our monthly meetings, that they should be paid.
I think
it came out of that.
Okay.
And that's a good point, because we used to give them a $50, which is probably not enough, honorarium, and then some of them would choose not to. But that would be...
But we at least offered it to all the speakers.
I mean, it wouldn't be to everybody, like when our grant people come, you don't pay them. If somebody from Extension is talking, you don't pay them.
Right.
But if you have an outside speaker who's going to come talk about, I don't know, their hummingbird someplace.
Well, friends had somebody come in and talk about mushrooms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how much you pay them.
I don't recall. It was at least $300.
Okay. And see...
So I think you should keep something in there for that.
Absolutely. That's why I suggest $1,000.
Yeah. I think that's reasonable.
Oh, let's do that. Grants, you've got a proposal? Yeah. And I think that's pretty self-explanatory. Do you anticipate anything else coming up?
No, I don't. We are concerned about the cost of many of these grants have applied for very specific cost, and we're concerned about the cost increasing.
Cost and what?
Increasing.
Oh.
Before they get to it, I guess.
Yeah. So they've identified the cost for now, but we don't know if costs are going to go up, and so we've been discussing that, but we don't know really how to handle that. As Patty pointed out, with their grant is for $3,000, so we couldn't give them more than $3,000.
Well, that's up to them to look for other sources.
I think it's up to them to how to spend their money. They ask for $500, they ask for $3,000, and we say, okay, when we give you $3,000, it's up to them to spend it wisely, and if they have extra, it comes back.
Yes. So that $30,000 is perfect. Thank you.
So your grants proposal, and I got too many.
It was 29. No, I'm looking at
29.321.
Yeah.
Okay. So you want to make it 29, or you want to make it 30?
I want to make it 30.
Yeah.
Okay. Make that 30.
What's
the grants?
It's grants, $30,000.
All right. plant sale.
And the scholarships would be changing.
I'm having trouble with the difference between the plant sale and the propagation, but that's okay. That's just
okay. Well, I heard somebody, I mean, are we going down the budget line item now?
No, we're going down our agenda.
Okay. Okay, plant sale. I suppose. And propagation is embedded in this.
Well, propagation is the purchase of some plants. Actually, not at all.
Okay.
The propagation is soil.
Or your material.
Materials, yeah. Plants and things like that.
Plugs.
Any plants that we buy, even the propagation plants that we purchase, the little plugs we just ordered, those are plants for the plant sale.
Right, it's not
propagation.
It's not, okay, yes. So that's
so that $98,000. I had to learn that too a few years ago, Caroline. So that's yeah.
All right.
So if I could just
go ahead, Jeanette.
Can I just
yes?
So we were talking about that we sold out last year and we just we would like to get more plants. We'd like to get annuals and perennials, 2,000 more plants. We only had 7,000 plants last year. We sold out on Saturday. It's not good.
Mm-hmm.
So if we need more money to buy more plants, so if we figured if we bought 2,000 plants, and I'm being very conservative.
2,000 more?
2,000 more plants. $6,500, and that's conservative. But that would bring in at least $16,000 in profit. So
so you want to add $6,500 to your budget?
Well, increase to $98,000. Besides that, I think that's low. We spent $96,000 last year.
Yeah,
everything
I think the year before you spent
$106,000.
Excuse me? I said the year before you spent $106,000.
Well, this is for Tinga and for the azaleas.
It's everything. Everybody. You, us, everybody.
Trees.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. So you, and what I think that's a $2,000 increase, first of all, is really not a lot, because I know from with the plants we purchased last week, every plant has gone up.
Yeah.
And the azaleas are going to be up, your plants are going to go up, everybody.
Mine so I think, a little bit.
And we would like to add $6,500.
$6,500 for plants
for more plants. Okay.
So $98,900.
So that's 100.
$98,980 plus.
Plus 6,900, Jeanette, is that what you're saying?
65.
Come up with a round figure.
Round I was going to say.
100,000, 105,000, what do you?
You want to do 6,500 more?
This is just for the annuals and perennials, so where the 98,000 is reserved.
105,000, all $180
yes.
Purchase.
So I'd say 110.
110?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So that's $10,000 more than last year.
Jeanette, wait a second. Because I've got lost something. So I thought you said the new plants would be about 6,500.
No, additional plants.
Additional plants.
Yes.
But she's thinking that to reproduce what we did last year is going to be more expensive.
Right.
And that's going to
plus needing more though.
So are you wanting $6,500 more dollars?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then I think 105 would cover it.
Right.
Okay.
It's 105,000.
Yeah, but I'll keep it.
Well, and if you have a buffer for those plants that are being sold on consignment, you may need that extra $4,000. So $110,000 is not unreasonable.
$110,000 would be a safe bet.
Oh, yeah. That seems like a big increase from the previous year.
It does.
10%.
But this is our money maker. This is the money we spend so that we can make money.
Do we know if tariffs are going to impact the nursery business?
Let's not get into that.
If stuff's grown here, I think would it cost the reporting thing?
Okay.
So anyway, this is just a budget.
It's just a budget.
Okay.
Okay, so propagation, is that going to stay about the same?
Propagation, we did spend $3,500 last year, I believe, but it can go down, but we were thinking that maybe do we need to buy some tables this year, Kevin, because we're going to lose some tables? Or
I think that's something for you guys to consider for sure. The carpenters are getting old. I think that was kind of the thing we started the meeting on.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. and most of those tables are wooden.
Mm-hmm. Should we budget some in that 6,400 and add some for more?
I personally would, yeah. So get long lasting tables that don't sag in the middle or have a leg rotten off in the middle of the ground.
In the research that I've done on that, the aluminum type tables, they're on average around $600 a table.
Okay. It's going to take a few years to get a.
And Jeanette, when you're saying supply. Tables, is that what typically has been behind the greenhouse that you put plants on?
Yeah.
Benches. Those are called benches.
Not only the carpenters, Kevin, but the guys that have to take the existing tables out of the greenhouse.
Say
what?
You're probably way low on that 600 per table.
Oh, the benches, I think we called it.
Especially if you get a table that's like the size.
I didn't get a greenhouse table. So okay. I would request that we leave the budget at that.
6,400. But I would think if we're purchasing things like tables, that's capital.
Yeah. Well, if you look at it over time, I forget the exact term, but it's a replacement cost built into your budget, and you decide how many things you want to replace in a given year with an end point where the total whatever is replaced.
And typically, like the propagation is, like you said, replacement, so we need some new ones, we need hoses, we mm-hmm. need, you know, whatever we need for the propagation. And tables, we consider that we need those for propagation. Whether they're capital, that's not my call, but then we would ship money for that. But we would probably maybe.
Because they're specifically for the plant sale, I think it's why they're included with these lines.
Yeah, but it's the type of thing it is.
That
is important.
Not where it's going. Yeah. Go under capital expenses.
Yeah, we should go. Yeah. Tables and things. Yeah. But things like hoses and things that are disposable are not capital. They're equipment. I don't know if we have an equipment.
You know,
so taking out the idea of tables, but leaving in whatever, what do you need? You're at 3550 this year. Can you do like 5,000?
5,000 would be okay, and then we can maybe do the 1,400 for tables.
Can we put soil and pots under there? And our pots, can we put soil and pots under there? And pots are going up.
Soil and pots. Fall under.
Oh, that's propagation. That's for the bulk of the propagation. Yeah.
And you have 1,500 additional from last year, so so you should be good.
Kevin, what do you think tables cost?
I would budget $750 each.
Well,
aluminum.
Yeah, aluminum.
The package you have in there already.
I'm sorry.
Tables. How many would we have to get? Three would run along the side of the greenhouse.
In the major Master Gardener greenhouse, are any of the tables there needing to be replaced? Because I would start in the Ross greenhouse. We've got, 10 tables in there? All of them could be replaced.
That gets very light use by us, so I wouldn't spend any money at all for that, in my opinion. But the outside is where we're really in need of adaptability because we're,
Alone the greenhouse.
The things.
How many do you have outside now?
Put them outside. Well, the carpenters built them, and they're beginning to just dry rot out, so they're not stable any longer. And we have a mishmash of sizes, some were from the Ability Garden, some. So at least four big, long ones.
I was thinking four.
Well, and you said they're $750 a piece.
Have you priced them, Kevin?
That's what I would budget.
Yeah.
That's $3,000.
That's $3,000.
So if you spent $3,550, we had $3,000 to that. That's six. You want to make that $7,000?
Yes, sir. All right. But tables, we need to take out the capital.
Soil,
and
pots. We have $4,000 budgeted for capital.
The tables would go
okay.
Capital. Steve.
You have a line item, 6920, miscellaneous expenses. We spent $45 last year.
Oh my gosh.
It's $5,050.
Wait a minute, I'm not 6915, right?
6920.
Line item 6920?
Merchant.
Red print.
Oh, miscellaneous.
Oh,
that's a non-plant sale related. Merchant fees is 69.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
Yes.
Well, they're used during the
But no. Tables can come out of capital equipment because I don't think we need any
Right. So, yeah. So let me just ask this question, Todd. That $4,000 that is currently listed on capital equipment, what is it for? What was that estimated for?
I don't know. She put that in there.
Okay. Is that for computers?
Okay, hang on.
Okay.
Let's start from the beginning.
Okay.
What do you want to know? You want to know how much money you have to spend on equipment.
When you put in $4,000 for capital equipment, what did you have in mind?
I didn't have anything in mind. I carried over. You see, this budget is the same budget that I had when I took over.
Okay.
I just moved everything
right.
and changed the year.
Okay.
Oh.
So nobody made a decision, with the exception of the folks that are doing the propagation. They were the key for changes that were being applied. Some of the other things that got changed, the scholarships, because I'm interested that postgraduate students deserve a scholarship as well. So some of these things have been on here. As far as historically, I say capital equipment. You roll in the capital equipment, the miscellaneous expenses. And the miscellaneous expenses is not merchants. There's a separate line item for merchants. So you have under miscellaneous expenses $5,050, which we only spent $45 on last year.
So $4,200 for miscellaneous.
That's under plan.
Yeah, right. So for capital equipment, we currently have $4,000 that we don't have a need identified for any reason, because it was carried over, so these tables could fit right there.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Or
okay.
If you needed extra,
right.
You could go down to 6920 and take money from there.
Okay.
Tables come out of 6820.
Yeah, so backing up to propagation support, do we really need to increase that?
No. So no.
Okay.
If we get the tables out of 6820, we can lower the propagation support. Karen, I'm speaking for all of us, but the soil, the big expense of the soil, the containers.
Yeah.
Last year we bought, Osmocote, we bought printer tags, little things.
Yep.
$3,400. I mean, I maybe make it rounding to $4,000.
We need a new printer for labels.
So that was
that's capital expense.
That's
capital
expense. Were there money in there? Okay. Your printer
So $4,000. I think we're okay.
Okay.
As long as we can use some of that capital expense.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it's just a case of saying where do you want to take the money from? If it's earmarked for capital expenses, you take it from capital expenses.
Right.
If you've got a miscellaneous item, you take it from miscellaneous.
Okay,
at least.
So there's no reason to increase.
That's what the unofficial treasurer used to do. It's kind of like, where does this come from? Oh, you're going to go on a bus trip. We'll take it out of... Okay.
So my question, one of my questions is, carpenter items sold for $2,000, what is that going to
be? That, you know, that's a question that has not been answered.
No, it has not.
So,
okay, let me explain.
Forever, the carpenters during the year make little crafts.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's a discussion.
Yeah. And they put their, they have an inventory that they give us before the sale. And then after the sale, they give us an inventory of what sold. So we just pay them the money. Okay.
For what sold.
But when we went on a computer system, because I don't know that it was not this detailed in years past when I got involved. But we had to have a line item because the money that is sold comes under our cash register, so it shows as money we have earned. You know. So we ended up creating a line item, and the budget means nothing. It was just we had to have somewhere that we showed it as an expense, because when we had all of our sales, those carpenter crafts were included in our sales money. And we just needed to know what that was to count it as an expense to just pay them back.
it's called a pass-through.
A kind of a pass-through.
And I'm not sure how legal that is.
Yeah.
But why, I mean, from a just sort of theoretical point of view, are they not contributing any of the profits to the organization? I mean, why are they getting all of the profits?
Because they help us tremendously for the plant sale. This has come up for many, many years, And it's just...
They roll it into getting supplies.
Yes.
So if they make the profit, then they go out and they'll get the wood to make the next year.
And make our signs. They go and buy the little wire things.
They're very creative, economical.
And it is such a low little amount. So anyway.
$211.
Okay, food for volunteers. Now, we don't have a Denny's anymore. So, as far as I know, this is going to have to come out of social.
No. Sorry. Let's just talk about it for a second. We've always, again, because a plant sale is kind of its separate little animal, and we're feeding the volunteers. I know Glenn stepped up, thank goodness, and Martha last year, and hopefully it's just an estimate here of what it cost to get the food last year.
For the plant sale only?
Yes. Yeah. And this is for the plant sale only, with the food for the volunteers. So I'm hoping that we've got some kind of good records. Number one, you need to kind of know how many volunteers are going to be here a day so you know how much food to plan for. It's always cost about $2,000. Is that a good number, a bad number? Through the years, it's been bigger meals, and do we need them? Could it be smaller snacks? Just things to talk about. But that is that line item is.
It's just such an odd number, 3,263. So why can't we make it like 33,000?
Yes, it can be a round number, and that probably is because when you look at the actuals, it would just maybe increase,
The actuals last year were 2,363, so do we need it to be that much more?
The reason it was so high last year, in the past, Denise had taken care of a lot of it. She got a lot of it donated. We had to go out this past year to purchase stuff.
But she was still purchasing it. I mean, she was still...
Yeah, but she got a lot of it.
Taking it out of her pocket.
But if it was 2,363,
it
was like
2,500.
I think 2,500.
2,500
sounds good.
That sounds good.
Yeah, food prices are going up. Yeah.
All right, Ability Garden, have they asked for any money?
No,
they're not in there.
All right, and then skipping down to Carpenters, which is our pass-through, so they help us with support.
Right.
So I think it can be the same.
Yeah.
All right.
Let me just add one thing. Yep. And the reason the Ability Garden is there as a line item is until just a couple of years ago, the same thing. When we would have our big Master Gardener plant sale, Ability Garden would be selling their own plants to the side. Yeah. But again, all the monies kind of came through our sales. So we
have to see.
Yeah. And I do not think they intend to do it again with us. It's they have their separate.
Okay. So can we take that out?
That could be taken out. Okay. I'm sure.
All right.
I'm just going to ask, should Ability Garden be put in as an expense like the extension, or should it go under electric consumer horticulture and extension? Should Ability Garden also be just moved to that?
They have their own budget. They're an independent 501c3.
This is the plant sale budget. I don't think we directly support
the Ability Garden.
Yeah.
They're not there.
But it could be like lined up next to that group of things in the budget.
They're not getting any money now. Cheryl's saying that whole arrangement is not happening.
They're not. I don't think they're getting involved with this at all. They're not asking to have a table or whatever for their sales.
They didn't ask for a grant this year either.
No.
That makes sense. All right. So miscellaneous, is that going to stay the same?
Well, it seems like if it was $45 last year, why budget $5,500?
Yeah.
I mean, why not budget $100?
Does that need to be 10 out of that line?
Or does that even need to be?
Does it need to be there?
Steve, where's the equipment for the plant sale coming out of? That miscellaneous?
Yeah.
That's only $2,200, right?
Yeah. So they're $2,200 miscellaneous for the plant sale. So this is other miscellaneous.
$2,200?
Why don't we take that down to $1,000? Yeah, about.
And you can see last year we spent a little bit more than $2,200.
All right, and storage rental, is there any way?
We still have this miscellaneous expense, so.
I know what it is. I know what the storage is. Is there any way that we can invest in some kind of a structure where that can, those things can be stored on site?
No.
Good luck.
There's no place to put it.
Okay, see, I'm just throwing it out.
No room.
All right, so do we foresee that going up?
Well, it went up last year and it went up this year.
Well, I know what. He personally has one that I'm trying to get my husband to empty out.
He increased it slightly from 25 to 27.
Yeah, because it went up to $255.
Do we want to make that 3,000?
I thought I made the change so that it would reflect 100, whatever the price is.
It covers the increase, is what you're saying.
Okay. To take it.
Thank you.
Leave it at 2772.
You know, it really is a case of saying that thing is still under Denise's name.
That's right.
And we never got that changed because we couldn't get them to change it.
Why?
I don't know.
So if
that needs to be fixed.
Well, I know.
If she relinquishes the space and you sign a new contract, I bet you your rights are going to go up.
No, we, the association, pay for that out of the association's money. It is a bank draft from our account. There is no changing of contracts unless they want to change it.
Speaking of bank draft, that's how I think we want to have this.
What?
Never mind. I'm not even going to go there. The insurance, the new insurance.
That's up to your treasurer.
All right. Is everybody happy with the budget?
What about, do you need any money?
I was just going to say. Social.
Budget is 4,500. I have no idea who spent that money.
It was 40.
I have tried, I've talked to, I don't know how many people. And I can't get any handle on where that money is spent.
We have.
What?
Linda?
The first time.
Is that 6720? Is that the line that
which was the line? Yeah.
Okay.
Linda?
6720.
Bills and entertainment.
6720.
Where it came from was, it came from Denise. She was the one that primarily took care of the meals and entertainment. One, when Denise left, we had a hole. Glenn was good enough to fill in that hole for a majority of the items. What we did was some people, the reason why we went to spending money for lunches and such was COVID, because we didn't want to trust what people were bringing in. And it is a case of saying, almost like making a plea to the membership to say, if you want to have something to eat, bring something for everybody instead of buying things.
We do most times.
Right, but what I'm saying is before COVID, we didn't, as far as I know, we didn't buy a lot.
Juices and coffee was paid for. That's primary expense. Yeah.
Somebody buys the coffee.
A lot of that came under the plant sale last year.
The
coffee, the coffee, we bought coffee, we bought the disposable, or not disposable.
Yeah.
We bought a lot of that.
But forget about the plant sale. What I think, you're talking about the social, for example, I think the snacks in
the snacks.
Plant clinic are bought, which we get back to having a good receipt. Somebody goes, I don't even know who buys them, but somebody buys,
Well, the
this point, Gabriella just bought it.
Okay.
Yeah, but okay. I've got a credit card, so I'm okay. going to check it
so out. Anyway, though, so but the money's come from this social account for snacks, I believe. But then when we have our monthly meetings, and we have a table here with food, I know volunteers do bring some, but they have to buy things like you're talking about, the napkins and things like that.
And for the holidays, like Thanksgiving and Christmas, the expenses were like for the ham and the turkey and stuff.
Typically December for a holiday lunch, June for an end of year, we have more of the meat and the vegetables or whatever, like a lunch.
Yeah.
So that is all that falls under that social line item.
Catered expenses.
Okay, well, if no one besides me is using that budget, I would say 2,000.
No, it's actually
a lot more because just for instance, this year alone, we spent $1,169 for a barbecue, and that went to the Friends, so I'm not sure what that.
That was for the anniversary. That was for
Denise's retirement.
That was for our celebration.
The volunteer appreciation.
The volunteer appreciation. Because we were supposed to buy the alcoholic beverages. But somehow that all got changed, and they said, you pay half of the barbecue, and we'll call it even.
Okay, so that's, almost $1,200. Then there was $110 for food at a meeting, and then $116 for the plant clinic snacks. So far we spent $1,400 out of the $4,000. So it seems to me that may not be enough going by this level of
expenditure.
Linda, the other thing that is not known by many people except for the treasurer is that when the folks that are working on the committee go out and buy a bunch of vegetables or a bunch of fruit, they can submit a reimbursement for what they purchase.
That is only because I told them to do that, because the same people bring the food every Friday. And I would like to say to those people, if you bring your grocery receipts for what you buy, you will be reimbursed. Not everybody's is going to take me up on that.
Well,
but some people will, because it's just not fair.
Right.
Or really, I would say at most 15 people bringing food, and it's usually the same 15 people.
But so, if you think about it, we're giving an awful lot of time to this organization. Maybe that's their contribution to the organization. So that's one way of looking at it.
Yeah, but that's up to them.
Right.
That's up to them.
Well, it's kind of like stuff in the plant clinic. Me, personally, if I'm going to be at the plant clinic from 10 to 1, I'm going to eat before I leave. I don't need the association feeding me. And I'm very adamant about that.
Right.
It's kind of like,
my notes.
We're spending money to feed people? Okay, whatever.
What you were saying is if somebody volunteered to bring food for the meeting, they put reimbursement for the food that they purchase?
If anybody brings food, I feel like they if they want, and I'm guessing most people will just volunteer. No, that fails to say that's okay. But, there may be some people where that's a hardship. And then they shouldn't volunteer.
Do that years ago.
Well, then there wouldn't be any food.
And then that's fine too.
And that's fine too, because I have a lot of trouble getting people who sign up to actually bring things.
Oh, really?
A lot.
I did not know that.
A lot.
I didn't know that. My group, when
so,
we
did,
we
brought
a ton of food.
So I'm trying to give not exactly an incentive, but just so you're not shelling money out of your pocket every month. Because, as I say, it's the same people who bring the food over and over and over again. And they may be perfectly fine, contributing that, but
Give them the option.
Give them the option. I totally agree. Yeah. It's just like my plant sale committee, and I say, if you need to buy some duct tape, go out there and buy it, give us a receipt. We're going to reimburse you for it. Uh-huh. You know, the same thing. So.
But we should, I would advise making it super clear, though, on how that receipt needs to be submitted. And if they shouldn't have personal expenses on the same.
Exactly. You know,
we have the form that Steve made aware to us.
Correct.
And not everybody still uses, because right, I was the one that was filling out the form for people who would submit a receipt.
Yeah,
am I one of the few?
No, yes, you are. You are one of the few.
One thing to go buy a platter of croissants from Costco. We have then a receipt. You know, we have a specific thing we purchased. You know, for somebody to say, "Well, I spent $50 for this. I want that back." I mean, you have no idea about the specifics.
Right.
You don't have a receipt.
Oh, you gotta have the receipt.
They need to bring a receipt. Yeah, but then is it gonna be just sold for that?
Most of us think when we volunteer for a month, what we're usually doing is baking cookies or baking a cake or some kind of breakfast food.
I'm guessing you can't have a grocery receipt with flour, butter, and
we're not doing that.
So
we've never
submitted. It's a little informal now, and I need to tighten it up. And I may just start assigning people to bring things.
Well, you know,
we've signed up in the past. We've signed up in the past for a month.
I know that, but it's the same people all the time.
And then maybe that's because we want to
have a choice.
Yeah.
I think one of the things you have to think of is when a congregation gets together and has a potluck, nobody asks for money. They bring the loaves and the fishes.
Yeah.
And if people want to bring something, they'll bring it. If they don't want to bring something, maybe they don't want to eat. So, do I eat any of this stuff?
I wouldn't.
No, I don't, because I don't bring any.
I think it's going to be fine, and especially if you're going to do a meet and we're going to have a meal, then you're going to want to pay for that. You're going to want to buy that.
Maybe a suggestion, too, you know, just if she has a budget, she could just start with small, you know, just have a designated, I will provide, you know, three platters from Costco. That's our starting space. And anybody else that wants to bring stuff can add on. But that way you have a constructed budget. Each time you have exactly how much money you're going to spend. There's no question about it, you know. And then whoever wants to bring stuff can.
Really?
I think the thing that, budget-wise, I'm not really responsible for this budget unless you just put the $2,000 down. I know what needs to come out of that budget.
Unbelievable.
But if other people are using the budget, I don't know what's
going on. Well, they should at least let you know, hey, Linda, I went out and spent $20 on oranges. Here's the receipt. Here's the request.
Yeah, but what was the event that's
a category for all these other kinds of things. So it's not just your items.
Exactly. But I don't have anything to do with those. So it's hard for me to
write a plan.
Say what's...
But Linda, I also, if it's just for food for the meetings, I don't think you need to really know too much. You know, unless you're trying to spend all of the money, you know what I mean? I think if you just go to the store and buy, okay, this is food enough for 40 people or whatever, you know? Like I'm going to spend $100 every time.
No, I just mean there are people using this budget.
But I think you'll always have money.
It's a category that, you know, that's the type of thing that we're spending our money on. This is not specific to you.
Exactly.
Yeah,
because it says meals and entertainment.
So
that entertainment could be a bus trip.
For me, as far as I know, I'm going to spend $2,000.
Great.
And whoever else needs that budget.
Yeah, that way it's planned. Yeah.
Is paying at $4,500?
Yeah.
Thank you. So if you look at the fact that, for example, we have 10 meetings a year, maybe 9, you're spending roughly $200 a meeting.
I'm leaving that open because
I know that I'm going to need paper plates, you know, and I can't even get an inventory of that.
So you know, all the plates and everything are purchased through here, too, through the front office as well.
Yeah, but I don't know, do I have to order those
through Wendy?
Yeah, but, I don't.
Check with Wendy, Linda.
Just check with Wendy to ask.
You know what, Linda? I totally hear you. And I think what?
Caroline.
Because it would be good if you're a brand new person that you got a one page or whatever saying this is what you need to do. And I think that's where
and
you're
that's
coming
what
up with that.
Yeah. So hopefully you all are kind of keeping notes about what you do because I have no idea what y'all do.
Yeah.
But I want a document that says what you do.
Judy
could
help you.
Yeah,
Judy could help you. She would be glad to
talk to Judy.
Judy would be glad to tell you everything that she's done.
Judy?
Judy Howard.
All right, can we move on?
She could never get an answer from anybody, and that's the position on it.
Okay, well, we do need to move forward. We have really taken up a lot of your time. All right, old business, any situations we need to consider? We have found some old records. Kathy East said she'd help me with that. How far back do you want to go before we chunk it?
What have we done that hasn't been completed?
No, these are old records going back from years and years and years ago.
Records of what?
Records of the procedures, et cetera, of this organization.
Well, I guess we'd have.
I keep it for 10 years.
You know about Robert's Rules of Order?
I think with the 501(c), and I've got to go because I got a group for a tour.
Yeah.
But I think you're required, and we need to find out to keep minutes forever. I believe. So double check that.
Do we need a hard copy and electronic?
I don't know.
Well, just so that you know,
but
all the old records are digitized. I did it. I've created an archive library for the entire Arboretum. I'm still working on it.
Okay.
And you mean minutes of the Master Gardeners?
Yes.
The minutes, there's tons of minutes that are online that I've been able to go through.
Okay.
Yes. I have a binder.
Okay. So
Susie never put anything in the binder.
I'm not sure.
Is it electronic though?
I think those are more electronic.
The minutes that you did are on the picture.
I have a binder. Don't know what to do with that binder.
Barbara, give it to me.
Is there any space in there?
Are you going to be at the plant clinic this week?
No, I won't. But I know you're there on Wednesday.
Okay, I do. We have a bylaws change. Apparently the Master Gardeners group before my involvement had agreed to pay for upkeep or redoing of the lawns after the plant sale.
Right.
And so we just got, Kevin sent me an invoice for $4,265. So my question is, are we responsible for the whole thing? Because it also sounds like it's aeration and sort of regular maintenance kinds of things.
No.
I think we, but didn't we have we created an amount.
No,
it was a one-time support of the gardens. It was not regular maintenance or anything. It was just a top dressing, one-time.
Aeration and top dressing.
Yeah, aeration and top dressing.
So can we use the $2,000 from the friends that you all just offered? This?
Well, this was in last year's budget.
No,
yeah.
It was approved.
Yep.
It was approved.
Yeah, this was the motion that was very, very unclear. So we had a discussion, and there was a comment that this should cost about $3,000. And then the minutes say that Betsy Bilger made a motion. We have no idea what the motion was for. We all agreed in principle.
It's not in the minutes?
Support.
No,
it's not.
Originally, the place I heard it from was from Glenn at graduation, wasn't it? You mentioned the horticultural.
Maybe we thought it was coming out.
There was an email.
It's not an
it would have come out of plant sale.
The amount that was mentioned was
about $3,000. That was the top end. It was a rain. Gabriella had prepared
the
board meeting.
Okay.
Okay, so.
That was before quotes came in, so that was like, what, in my experience, in my history, in my past, what is that going to cost? That was the number you got.
Right.
And obviously the quotes came in higher because everything.
Well, and one came in a little lower, but it was a case of saying they're going to transfer it across the line.
Plastic bags.
And it was.
Still higher than what.
So we've only approved 3,000, y'all have some other sources?
No, it was revoted on, right? So it was.
The executive board voted on the increase and approved the increase.
Okay.
To go to the amount that Kevin.
So the amount, total amount he needed, we provided.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be a plastic expense because it's supposed to be kind of fixing the grounds up.
Kevin, was that taken care of, okay? Was that what we wanted to help you with? Was that taken care of?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where that $5,500 would be.
Okay.
All right, we'll put it to miscellaneous.
Okay, we have to have a bylaws change because of our tax exempt, change in our tax exempt status. And bylaws is gonna have to be voted on.
I think Kevin and I have to leave.
Yeah, let me hold it till next meeting. I can't.
Thank you.
I can't hold it till next meeting, but you guys can go. Thank you for your input.
Thank you.
All right, which one is the, is this the projector?
John can help you with that.
So I think this was sent to you. Okay. Anyway, this is sort of a big deal.
You're good.
Bylaws change are gonna require 3/4 of the vote of the equal present at the general membership meeting. We definitely have a forum here today.
You don't have a sound thing here, though. We don't need a sound. And this. Oh, wait a minute.
I don't need sound.
Let me just see what happens here.
Okay. Basically, this is just housekeeping. And when I propose this to the general membership, I'm just going to say this has come from the board.
What's this? Is this an apple?
Yeah.
I wonder. Okay.
We need to mirror it.
That's why, okay. All right, so was that just in Microsoft Word?
Yeah. Yeah, we need to mirror it. I don't know if it's up to you.
I already did. I extended it, but it didn't take. That's the battery. There it is. Nope. Screen mirroring.
That's screen mirroring.
Let's see.
Or entire screen. Put entire screen.
Wait a minute.
Mirror this.
Oops. It's not picking up. I just want to mirror that.
There
we
go. Okay. Thank you for your patience.
I'm
get to keep them in
that. Okay, so the proposed amendment. I'm sorry that you didn't have a benefit of that.
What proposed amendment now?
A
Okay, this proposed amendment to Master Gardener Volunteer Association bylaws will be voted by, on by the membership at the September 15th meeting. And this needs to go out ASAP so that they have 30 days to see it. So the original bylaws, and this is just because of our change in our tax exempt status, the original bylaws say the organization is organized exclusively, blah, blah, blah. We were at 501c5. We are now 501c3. That's the only change.
Good.
And then the other thing, to undertake an annual fundraising effort, blah, 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 the proposed change to undertake annual fundraising efforts.
Yes.
Okay, that's the only change.
Wait a minute. The original bylaws, is that the mission statement?
No, this is the bylaws.
And go up.
That's just an item of the bylaws.
That's correct.
Under what category?
You're right in the very beginning. I think you're correct. You're correct.
What's the difference in the two?
This just means what it is now is we can have more than one fundraiser.
It doesn't. Where's the change?
It's a blow. So F-Forts to F-Forts.
Oh.
That's all.
The wording stays the same?
Yes.
Okay, I thought you were saying.
No, we then changed from a C-5 to a C-3.
I understand that.
And now, and this will be.
Plural.
Now we can have more than plural. One fundraising. Yeah, and I'll
print it out.
The change in this.
And the last one, the word effort goes to efforts. Oh,
gee. You need to highlight
it. Yeah.
I got it.
Okay, Carolyn.
All right, good.
Good to go.
Thank you so much. I have taken up a great deal of your time, as you have been troopers. So thank you for all you do.
Thank you.
And thank you in advance for all the work you've done.